You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Oh, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad is liberty. Each week, we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at johnnyrocketlaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty. Rock and roll.
Hey there, Liberty lovers. This is Mark Clare of the Lions of Liberty podcast, where we strive to bring you great conversations about the ideas of liberty 3 days a week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Check us out at lionsofliberty.com.
Hey guys, this is Roger Paxton, and if you're fed up with the government running every single aspect of your life, but you're not listening to the Lava Flow podcast yet, then what's wrong with you? Check us out at thelavaflow.com, or just go back to sucking up to the government. The Lava Flow podcast, striking the root every single episode.
We are supported by listeners like you. Donate per month or make a one-time donation through PayPal or Patreon at wearelibertarians.com. Welcome to We Are Libertarians. I am your host, Chris Spangle. We Are Libertarians brings you all of the irreverence modern politics deserves. We explain to you what the hell is happening in our world today and how we can fix it by thinking differently. This is a podcast brought to you by the We Are Libertarians Network, so please be sure to rate and review us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, share this episode with friends, and support us through PayPal or Patreon at wearelibertarians.com. We are supported by listeners like you, so $1 per episode by pledging $5 a month helps us grow. We are always taking your questions and comments via email at editor@wearelibertarians. Joining me, as always, to my left this time is Greg Lenz. Greg, how are you doing?
Doing wonderful, brother. How are you today?
I'm having another week.
I feel like there might be an Aunt Donna moment in the wings.
I left work a little early today because I hadn't been to the gym all week, and so I got pumped up on pre-workout. I got real high on some caffeine and pre-workout, and I put in a good two-hour workout, and I don't know if I'm tired yet or if I'm on edge, but I'm so full of tea right now, it's not even funny. I'm yelling at everybody.
Well, that's all right. We'll let it ride, because I did play a dirty trick on you.
You did, and okay. Turnabout is fair play. You've shown up. And Bittner has been here, and really, I pranked myself. You played yourself, in the words.
And let's be honest, Bittner is always worse than literally anything I could do to you.
That is true. Other than Bittner plus Hannah Cook.
That's a fair point, too.
One of our guests, Hannah Lee.
Hello.
What are we calling you? What's your last name? What do you want to be called?
My last name's Weber. Right. Hannah Weber.
Hannah Weber 96.
Yeah. Hannah Weber 96, and she's with us today, and so she was lost, but it's not her fault. She's from the country.
Yeah, there's a...
Like the deep woods, right?
Yeah, it's pretty thick.
Okay,
it's basically Appalachia.
Right.
Basically.
She basically is fluent in the mandolin. She drove a combine here.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible gas mileage, but
so worth it.
The street cred.
Like, it literally makes Bucktown look like Carmel.
Right.
I guess. Never been to Bucktown, but...
Mouthiest broad in our entire network. Oh. And she gets... We turn on the microphones and she's like, yes.
Hi, guys.
There's just a lot of testosterone in this room right now.
Yeah, and you've got all of it.
Yeah.
So, the only time Miranda was here the other night, and you want to talk about high tea in a woman. Good Lord. If you haven't listened to Miranda's World, this last episode about Farmer Tim, have any of you guys heard it yet?
No.
It is unreal. It is 50 minutes of just pure shit show. It's amazing.
But I can't get enough Miranda, just stream of consciousness on a run.
It is something else, let me tell you. And so, I'm waiting for Hannah to pull up in the John Deere. And is that what you call it down there?
The International Harvester.
It would be an international.
Okay. And what do I see pull up is a truck older than everybody in this room put together. Just share your mic. Actually, you know what? You don't get a mic. Aaron Ewert is here, and he showed up to... No, do not let him talk. He has not apologized to us yet. No. Until he comes on and he apologizes for reporting you for bad memes...
That's true. I got a 7-day ban because you said bundle of sticks in a screen to me in a text message, and I screenshotted it, and someone reported that.
Yes. Yeah. Someone, and I'm blaming you. So you need to, would you like to apologize right now for being a report?
Not apologizing because I didn't do it.
Well, then you need to leave. So that's why you will not be getting a mic tonight. Even though you have been cold and distant, I had lunch with Jeff Vibbert today, and I said, have you heard from Aaron at all? He's like, no, I think he's dead. And so he's just...
I invited him to KSR lunch like last week.
Right.
And he was with his twin girlfriend or whatever.
He big-timed you. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm so busy.
That's a good Jeff Vibbert impression.
It was a great impression. So Aaron is lurking in the background as usual. But the cast tonight is Greg, Hannah, and I. And then on the Skype, on the phone... Well, Harry's in the background. Harry is a lurker, as always. Harry's hanging out in the back.
Yep, just sitting over here. Actually, just trying to get my server updated right now.
Okay.
Dr. Price, right, as always.
Dr. Price. And on the phone, we have Brian Nichols. Brian, how are you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for having me on, guys. Really, it's an honor to join the We Are Libertarians cast all the way here from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Now, all of you in the room, if you're on my Wi-Fi, please get off so that way we can make it through. As Harry can attest, I have terrible Wi-Fi. Yeah, so are you updating?
Super terrible.
I know. So we got to make sure we can hear Brian loud and clear. Brian, where do you live at?
Yeah, I'm out here in Philly. Basically, it's the communist capital of Pennsylvania. But we make it by.
Yeah, and so Brian is he's a political guy. He served on 5 campaigns, and he's the associate editor for the Libertarian Republic. Now, you guys went in hard on Gary Johnson this week. Have you followed any of that, Brian?
I've been watching from the wings, and it definitely caused quite a stir. But you know, one thing that I do really like is that we're able to have a lot of different ideas bounce around, regardless if it's pro Gary Johnson, anti Gary Johnson, anti this, pro that. I mean, pretty does allow us to have a pretty open and honest discussion with each other and get the ideas out there a different way. So it's definitely something that it's been quite an adventure over the past week.
That's a wonderfully diplomatic answer, yeah. Brian.
What can I say?
I'm impressed.
And so the Libertarian Republic is owned by Austin Peterson. Now, at the Libertarian Republic offices, are you allowed to enter the Pyramid of Pussy?
That I honestly cannot tell you from personal experience. So you'd have to ask him for that one.
Okay. Well, I've asked him for the key several times, and he just doesn't seem to get me back. So
maybe it's not a key. Maybe it's like one of those the optic scanners, maybe. I'm not sure.
Also in the room is our very first intern. Okay, so we put out the call for interns, and Ed has answered the call to be our intern. Ed, how are you doing today?
Just fine.
Now, Ed is the oldest intern in the history of interns. Ed, how old are you?
52.
So it's kind of like that movie, The Intern, with Robert De Niro.
Is older.
Yeah.
And Anne Hathaway was better looking than you. All
right. This is a great intern.
Well, things just got much harder for you, intern. Now, my working philosophy with interns is that all interns are dogs and shall be treated like dogs. You will learn a lot here, but I will be mean to you because that is how I was treated when I was an intern. So hazing must commence. Now, Ed, are you you're from Central Indiana here, and do you listen to the show?
Yes, I do.
How often do you listen?
Fairly reasonably, a couple times a week.
Oh, okay. All right, great. So he said he listens to everything, and how long have you listened?
About a year and a half.
Okay, so you get the vibe. You get the vibe that I'm a crazed dictator.
Yes.
Mandatory liberty.
Dear leader.
Right, exactly right. the only libertarian dictator that... I might feed Greg to dogs. We don't know. We'll see how this episode goes.
There can only be one.
Right.
You know, I watched it happen when you and Chairman Sarwak had a stare down, and you out-alphaed him.
He looked at me and he said, the party is yours. And yeah. I said, no. I don't want it. And he took it back. And so I'm very generous.
You're the titular head.
Exactly right.
Much like Rush Limbaugh's the titular head of the Republican Party, you are the titular head of the Libertarian Party.
I was on a podcast about marketing yesterday called the Marketing Tech Podcast. and I was talking about podcasting, and they kept referring to me as dear leader.
That's right. Are those the two gentlemen you introduced me to?
Yeah,
we're going to get along fabulously.
Yes.
That couldn't have gone better.
So we're going to go and do our next episode at their headquarters downtown next Thursday, and you're going to love those guys.
Oh, I already do, but thanks for go ahead and saying, the way you introduced me to these two people I've never met before in chat today is you say, I've already explained how you are at parties. what a great introduction.
Well, let me explain how you are at parties, okay? So I was explaining the show, and I was explaining, you know, my characters, that I'm dear leader, I'm the crazed dictator, and, you know, Greg is the nerd. He is the backbone, the philosophical backbone of the show, but he also is highly offensive, and you're like toxic shock syndrome to women. They generally don't, they have a bad reaction to you. I remember being at a party, and this girl is the granddaughter of D.C. Stevenson. Look up the name. He was the head of the Klan in the 20s in Indiana. She looked at Greg like he was the worst human being alive, and she's...
She bears a striking resemblance to Dora the Explorer. Her name is Dara, and I kept asking her where her backpack was.
And she did.
Shockingly, that did not go over well.
So we have a party. Our great friend Caitlin Kopetsky, we all show up to this party. Some of us at a reasonable hour, others of us sloppy drunk at 1 a.m.
Dare you.
And so we show up to this party, and we're all hanging out, and Greg's over in one corner talking to somebody and talking about, you know, what he talks about, which is like abortion and Syrian dead children and things like that. And they're talking about strobe lights, and you couldn't think of the word strobe light.
I had a brain fart, but had remembered reading an article that strobe lights, which I couldn't remember, trigger epileptics.
Right.
So I'm talking to Jeff Everett's girlfriend, who works at the Autism Center, and I'm saying, do you ever use, you know, those lights that trigger epileptics to mess with them and put them in cages?
One of the people there has an epileptic daughter.
Turns out they did. That didn't go over very well.
No.
So I got screamed at in the middle of a party.
And then you
horribly.
And then after that, you moseyed on over to my table and started saying the word faggot.
Turns out that girl was gay.
Turns out the girl that I was hanging out with is gay. And then
I told her she's an actress and she has an Amazon web series coming out in the fall. And I told her, that's like having a YouTube channel. The only good web series are on Netflix. And she just looked at me, jaw dropped. And it was her 30th birthday, and I guessed she was 40.
Right. And then you look at Jeff's lady friend.
Yeah.
We'll not say girlfriend, but we'll say lady friend. And she works at an autism center, and you say what?
I said a lot of things.
A lot of things. You asked about helmets.
I asked.
You asked if they drool a lot.
Yeah, if they drool a lot. If she keeps them in cages when they screech. I had my A game. I had my fastball that night, and I was throwing heat.
You were the most offensive I've ever seen you, and you did pretty well. Brian, what did you say?
I said it sounds like Willowbrook, my lord.
Yeah, it basically, I mean, I don't always have, you know, that's like a great pitcher. You don't always have your best stuff some nights. But that night, at that particular moment, I was, you know, I was just howling it in there like Rick Vaughn in Major League.
Yeah. Intern, can you do me a favor?
Sure.
I won't say please because you're an intern. Can you get me a Nalgene bottle, a blue bottle of water out of the fridge, please?
Sure.
Would anybody else like anything?
I want a Bush Light.
I'll take one over here.
All right. We got some. And bring Aaron a Bush Light, please. Very good. Thank you, intern. The intern will be learning a lot with us. We're going to teach him multimedia production. But in the meantime, he's going to get me some water because I'm very thirsty.
And you aggressively hydrate.
I am aggressively hydrated. So, it was rare for him. It was really something to see. And so I was just explaining to these guys who you are.
And so I appreciate that for setting it up that way. And then they decided it was going to be a competition to try to offend me.
Yes.
And so they're like, when we record with you next Thursday, we're going to try to do everything we can to offend you. And I just look at these two I've never met, and I was like, as long as you don't criticize Hitler, we're going to get along fine.
Well,
and they immediately just started in.
I have been around you too long because I went on their podcast and I was like, you know, all these douches in marketing. And I said a that's what she said joke in the first 3 minutes. Like, here's this very reputable, serious marketing podcast. with probably thousands of serious listeners, and I'm like, that's what she said.
You can't blame that on me. That's Bob and Tom comedy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, yes. Now, Hannah, this is the first time Hannah has been here, and you have been up to no good over there. What are you giggling at?
Well, I happened to find this receipt from Jiffy Lube, and I'm incredibly disappointed.
Okay.
Okay, so apparently you paid, what, $138 for
I did these
services, which include changing your oil. Okay, that's fair.
Okay.
Changing your oil filter, fair.
Right.
Then it gets concerning. Check wiper blades.
Sure.
You couldn't do that on your own.
One was like loose and coming off, and so every time I
kind of flappy at the end,
it was very flappy.
It was
hanging by a thread.
You're a job creator,
so you didn't know how to like take them off of there and
have other people do that for me.
Okay, vacuum floors can't do that either.
I can, but
okay.
Again,
okay.
I'm
just
very important.
I was just wondering. Just antifreeze coolant overflow.
They check that for me. They do a full service over at Jiffy Lube.
They just said level okay. They said, that's okay. It's cool. But did you read the comments?
No, what'd they say?
Please check your oil regularly. I'm not making that up. Let's see.
Had it been a while?
Washer sprayer lines disconnected prior to service. You know anything about that?
Yeah, the washing fluid hasn't been working. Was that so?
It's because their lines were disconnected.
Did they fix
it? Yeah, if the lines
they reconnected it, nothing was coming out.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. I haven't had
because the lines.
I haven't
like
had washer fluid in a good 3 months.
Well, that's what the rain's for.
Okay,
right, exactly.
Know anything about your transmission leak?
No,
I'm literally just reading this off.
Yeah,
this piece of paper.
No.
Okay, how about the engine oil leak? That you have on your 2014 Chrysler.
An engine oil leak?
Maybe get a Toyota.
Yeah, give me that. I'm actually very concerned.
Yeah,
because
you should
can I respond
it.
On your behalf? Because did you drive the FJ here today?
No, I didn't. I drove my Chevy.
Oh, why didn't you drive your Mini Cooper? Oh, that's because you forgot to ever change the oil, and so it's junk sitting in your parents' yard.
It's a project car.
You junked it because you never changed the oil.
It's a
true or false.
It's a
true or false. You
no,
never
I
changed the oil.
That's not true. It's not true.
Why is it dead?
I can get you the documents.
Oh, can you?
Yeah.
Is it true or false? Is it sitting and it will not work in your parents' yard?
No.
What do you mean you have to put oil in the car?
It's
and you're over here
commission.
Criticizing him?
Okay. So what had happened was I was single for a while and I didn't have anyone that could help me change my oil on that car. It sits so low to the ground.
Patriarchy.
And my dad is like, he changes oil once a year, whether it needs it or not kind of guy. Like, he doesn't change his oil. So
this explains why you told me the other night that when, you know, should anyone ever come to your home, it's kind of, you have to like navigate through the cars that sit in the front yard.
No,
right. Don't
we're
work.
Kind of like running a, it's like a junkyard / used car lot. We have 3 broken down vehicles.
It's unintentional.
Well, obviously.
Usually junkyards are intentionally, you know, they're there for a reason.
You live in the country.
The one, yeah, the
right.
country.
The country.
America. Mm-hmm.
With
yeah.
those people. Well, I'm glad you noticed this because they didn't say a word about it. Like, you'd think, hey, by the way, you're leaking oil from your transmission and your engine.
Right, but they just gave it to you in writing, that's all.
Oh, yeah, but they didn't. You'd think they'd say, hey, FYI. But then all my levels are okay. Harry, what do you know about this?
It's a Mopar. It's going to die anyway. But because if it was a Toyota, it probably would keep going.
Absolutely.
It was it leaking forever?
You know, it wouldn't.
Yeah, but that Mopar, yeah. There's a lot of different maintenance that thing needs that you're probably not doing to it.
Sure.
So it's going to die
anyway.
Like crushed.
Yeah.
Like when?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, a lot of people don't read like the fine print in their Mopar handbook that you're supposed to switch out its transmission fluid every year.
Every year.
Yeah, with special Mopar transmission fluid. You can't go to like get that ATF red crap. It's you got to get special Mopar fluid to put in there.
This is so annoying. Yep. Why would they not tell you this when you buy the car?
Because then you wouldn't
Let's be honest. If you weren't being shamed about it on a podcast, it would
have
just been like,
I'm not being shamed. I'm concerned. Am I going to die?
No. Your car might.
Yeah, your car might.
Well, I don't need my car to die either. I bought this car to make it to at least 100,000 miles.
You can always fake insurance fraud and push it off a cliff.
That is a good point. Not now that you've said that on the podcast.
Or leave it in your front yard unattended to as a project car.
I hit a raccoon with my Mini Cooper and the insurance paid for it.
I wish you wouldn't be racist.
Super thick. Ouch.
I forgot
he was right there. I wasn't even thinking.
I know. I was right there. I was like, man, that's
all right,
great. I like to go out there, but I don't want to get hit by a Mini Cooper.
So tell me what I should do, Harry, because, Harry, you know cars.
I really think you should get rid of that Mopar and get something else, like anything else.
Like a Subaru Outback.
Yeah, like a Subaru.
He's already got the lesbian
vibe.
That's a black car.
On.
You should go for like a Subaru Forester.
Subaru Forester.
Yeah.
No, that's the 300.
A Lesbaru.
No, the 200 is a black car. The only people who've ever complimented me on the 200 are black.
That's fair.
Harry, do you like it?
No, I hate that car.
Well, but you're different.
I got that car like for a rental, and I hated it the entire way up to La Porte.
Now,
like,
Brian, what kind of car do you drive?
Got a good old refurbished Fire Police Chevy Impala 2007.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah. I like it.
I'll take it.
Is it sitting on 22s?
I like it, too.
Explain to me refurbished.
What's that? Is it sitting on 22s?
Can you evaluate on refurbished?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
See? He lives in Philly. Okay. He's got cred.
I'm from way upstate New York too. So like add that to whatever cred you want, and yeah, we have a party.
Do you ever go like bumping to Chronic 2001? Forgot about Dre.
Oh hell no, not in South Philly. No way.
Oh, you got at least lines.
Don't pretend that we can hear him. He's not talking on this podcast. Stay over there. We're not paying attention to him. All right, well, this is very concerning news. I need a new car.
All right, apparently. I'll look at it for you after
Please.
The podcast.
Oh, good. Okay. Be another one in your junkyard.
Yep. Mm-hmm. No kidding. Well, Harry,
we don't have any Chryslers.
Harry, how long do I have?
Well, it's a Mopar, so it could go anytime.
Is this expensive to fix?
No, yeah. But you probably don't want to.
A new transmission will be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and yeah, we'll it has an engine oil leak.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that normal?
No.
No.
That's
no.
the worst.
No. Like
what keeps the engine actually like the pistons firing, the lubricant is slowly leaving.
Sure.
Yeah. It's
at all times.
No, just ask my Mini Cooper. Not good.
Yeah, when you don't change it ever?
It's not true.
Yeah.
Fake news.
Fake news.
I got 6 quarts of KY in the Thunderbird.
All right. Aaron, you can't talk. You don't have a microphone. What are you doing?
You're not gonna stop
me. No, I know we're not gonna stop you. That's why you weren't invited.
Yeah.
I'm very stressed out now. This is very irritating to me.
Makes you feel any better. I've got to do the valve cover gasket in the Subaru, which is going to be incredibly hard.
Yeah. No, it doesn't make me feel
better. It's a flat motor.
That's right. That's right. I forgot about that.
Did you get a YouTube tutorial to figure that out?
Ha, ha, ha,
yeah,
ha,
get
ha,
it
ha.
Up there. Make sure you prop it up.
Hannah and Harry have beef. Harry has beef with a lot of people. But
any woman we've ever had on the show, Harry has beef with, and I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
I don't have beef with Chloe.
A chip on her shoulder. Yeah. Some might call it a chip beef.
Nobody can hear you. They can't hear you
Enough
talking.
Enough with the dad jokes.
Hannah's
Greg,
just mad
you
because
need to
like,
this.
Of all the different
this
like,
is your
BMW
fault.
Motors I've rebuilt.
You can tell how upset
all
I am
the
right
Sydney
now.
Units you've replaced.
You've made me sit for hours on end with
You
Bittner.
Know it's true.
Hours.
I just found
I had
out.
To, I had to sit there and listen to his terrible ideas for hours on end and his wrong opinions.
I have just found out that I have to buy a new car, and I don't have money or a credit
no,
score for
that's
such
not
thing.
Really
got,
what
got,
I said.
Swear to God, you've got minimum 18 months.
We throw enough Lucas oil in that
That's
car
the prognosis
just
we're
to
giving
get
him.
It sold and buy
months.
Something else.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think if you would have just taken care of it in the first place, you wouldn't be in this predicament.
That's not helpful.
That's not helpful.
I think you should sell it on Craigslist, and you should let us make the Craigslist ad. I'm good at this.
You're not helping.
Yeah, she is.
I'm helping.
No, but you're great at Craigslist ads.
I'm great.
She's selling herself on Craigslist right now. Harry, you're my expert in everything, especially technical things. What should I do?
Fill it up with enough Lucas oil in every pore and then sell the car. This way
he doesn't
leak.
Know what that means.
So I can't go to the Chrysler dealership and get this fixed.
Definitely do not go to the Chrysler dealership.
Why not?
Because the dealership will take all of your money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If you're lucky, just money.
The service people are paid on how much they can get you to pay for service.
Oh, so what if I go to a mechanic?
They would probably. I mean, it honestly. Let it ride for a little bit. Don't let it concern you for right now.
Oh, that's not going to happen.
Do you have AAA?
No.
How about Uber?
Yes.
Okay.
He is an Uber.
Then if you break down, you can just Uber back to your apartment and then call me and tell me how right I was about putting it on Craigslist.
Can you take care of this, please?
Yes.
Okay.
You should really just go back to befriending Aaron. Just wait. If you need a tow, you can just call Aaron.
All right, listeners, I'm not getting any answers from these people that I can trust or verify. I am getting jokes. I need an answer on what is happening here. So please, editor@wearelibertarians.com. This is very concerning, and none of you are helping me. I'm very mad right now. Aaron, you know cars.
Just get that truck. Get the truck that Trump was driving today.
Yes. Great. Thank you. Brian is the voice of reason.
Right.
But my truck's a Mopar that I'll be towing you with. It's a Mopar.
Yeah. So you know cars. What should I do? Can I get this fixed? Am I fucked?
No. I mean, everything's fixable.
Come on up to the mic.
AutoZone has stuff you can just dump in the valve cover, and it seals it.
Harry's laughing because Harry would never do that to his automobile, but that is actually completely true, because that's your other option, is to use the chemical gunk that actually seals it where the leaks are. And it's going to be all right, I promise. Remember that business meeting where everyone was telling you to spend like thousands of dollars mm-hmm. on the totally unnecessary stuff?
Right.
I'm telling you the same thing right now.
Okay.
It isn't a worry right now.
Yeah, but I don't want
to. You're fine for like 18 months.
I would lose sleep. But that's just me.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to, because
if I wasn't wearing my youth pastor shirt,
into
I'd crawl
the
under,
mic,
I'd crawl right under there for you right now.
Thank
with
you.
My flashlight.
You are wearing a youth pastor shirt.
I've got my Tyvek suit that I use to inspect crawl spaces. I can put it on and crawl under there and do like a live report on Spangle's car.
Ed, do you know anything about cars? You look like the kind of guy that knows cars
enough to be dangerous.
All right. Am I fucked?
Eventually, yes.
He's got life.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Engine and time. Transmission.
Yeah.
That's what's wrong.
Transmission is a little more worrisome.
You need both of those things.
I know I do.
We need you to call Car Talk. Are those guys dead? Are they alive?
Yes, they're dead. Oh, okay. Both of them.
Oh, wow.
Click and clack.
All right.
Maybe we should libertarian it up a little bit to get you off this, get you off out of your stressful
zone. Yes, let's take a moment first. Let's talk about our sponsors. All right, we need sponsors now more than ever before, okay? More than ever before, we need sponsorship, because apparently I am fucked. We need you to listen. So this is episode 201, all right? We have never in our life taken sponsorships other than from Jason Stapleton, who's a friend. But we're at a point in our growth where we're starting to pour money into this because we want to make this a business. And to do that, we need to do a lot of things, and one of those is take advertising. And we're only going to take people that we like, and we're only going to take people that actually understand the show and like the show. And the first person, Aaron Harden, got a hold of me and said, "Hey, I'd love to buy sponsorship." And he owns a hop farm. And I said, "Aaron, now listen. You understand that the amount of people who are beer brewers... and you're a hop farmer that listened to a libertarian podcast." He's like, "Listen, I just love the show. I love your audience. I want to support you guys, and I want people to know about us. And when we eventually open our wedding barn, I want you guys to come and support us." So 812 Farms, located in Columbus, Indiana, is supplying home brewers and commercial breweries with locally grown hops here in central Indiana. So we want you guys to look up 812 Farms and get acquainted with them and support them. In the process of getting a destination brewery started in Bartholomew County, which is about 30 minutes south of Indianapolis, they're using Indiana-grown ingredients, and they want a brew pub that honors the farmers from Indiana. So they plan to include a wedding barn, an event center, and restaurant, and brewery indoor hydroponics, a vegetable garden, and overnight lodging eventually. And for now, they do hop sales and beer infusion events with bars. And they also have a beer that if you're in Indianapolis, you can go to the tap on Mass Ave, and it's called Permafrost, an India Pale Ale. So we want to thank 812 Farms for joining us as an advertiser here on the show. And we can't thank them enough for supporting the podcast. And we were able to use the money from this sponsorship to send equipment to Maya and everybody out in Denver, Colorado. So we're starting a new podcast. We got some video equipment. And I'm returning all that right now so I can go fix my car. So
I'm going to need that back.
Yeah. Our second sponsor is Liberty Valiance. Zach and I, he Zach knows the show, okay? He knows that I can't pronounce names, and I always get them wrong. So he included a name, Zach Havaal. Okay, I think I got it. I think I got it right. So he has a podcast, a libertarian podcast, that we want you guys to go check out. Imagine if Louder with Crowder and the Jason Stapleton program had a kid. That kid would be Liberty Valiance with Zach Havaal, the millennial voice of the Liberty Movement, where they explore current events using basic libertarian principles of limited government, individualism, and free markets through the use of comically bad impressions and sketches. So check them out on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or LibertyValiance.com. You guys are going to obviously love that show if you like this show. So I want to thank those guys for sponsoring the show. We want you to support our advertisers as they support us and help us grow. So thank you guys for those sponsorships. Let's first take a quick question, and we'll do this quickly. But for our Dear Leader segment, we have got a letter from let's skip the Dear Leader segment actually, because we got to get to Obamacare. We got to break this down. Hannah, did you read the excellent notes that Greg put together?
I did not. Was I supposed to?
Greg puts together these amazing show notes that help us understand what is going on in the world, and you've been invited on this program many, many, many times, and you've never come, and then you finally came, and you've done nothing but disappoint us so far.
I think I mentioned to you once before that like when I'm not doing homework for school, I don't want to do any more homework, and that includes reading this essay. It's 6 pages long, and it's not double-spaced.
It's 11 pages long.
Oh, I just didn't even scroll to the bottom. And it's not double-spaced.
I'm curious. When you say school, which school are you referring to?
The college that I go to.
Which college? The Red Wolves?
The one that I'm pursuing my bachelor's degree.
In business, but it's not in the business school?
It's from IU.
Which IU school? Which IU?
It's the Red IU.
Which Red IU?
It's the one with the logo.
Oh, you mean that one that's almost in Ohio and Richmond?
Wait, I thought you were going to IUPUI.
I did go to IUPUI.
Oh, no. No.
No. That's expensive.
What?
So what had happened was...
No, IU East. The Red Wolves.
Oh, yeah. Aaron, go sit over there. I'm not kidding. Go. No, you're distracting us and you're talking through the podcast. You have to stop. Do not make me get out my stick and beat you like one of Hannah's autistic kids.
Oh.
Sorry, was that not public knowledge?
No, it's fine, but now I have to explain.
How you didn't go to business school?
I went there. I was working full time.
I know, I'm joking and giving you a hard time because you didn't do the notes or preparation.
I know, but now the people think I just ditched IUPUI as if I didn't want to graduate from IUPUI.
Well, I don't blame you because, you know, a lot of people want to be Red Bulls.
Sure.
No, it turns out there isn't.
No, what? See, Greg, stop. The listeners didn't hear what he just said. They have no idea what he just said. Don't encourage this. Hit him when he talks. Ed, I need you to go sit over there, and every time he talks, punch him in the arm, okay? Thank you. So Obamacare has been a massive topic on the news, in Facebook chats, and everywhere else. The Republicans have full power. They have total control. And, Greg, it is so nice to see the Republicans repealing all of Obamacare. It's nice to see total control.
Brian, that sounded like you enjoyed that comment as well.
My heart breaks.
I just, you know, the limited government Republicans, it's good when they finally do something right and they just repeal massive subsidies and taxes and regulations like Obamacare. That's what happened, right?
Technically, they haven't even had a vote on it.
Okay.
So they've had...
Tomorrow.
Have they actually set the vote?
Yeah, McCarthy told lawmakers that on Friday they're actually going to vote, like, no matter what the deals are that are negotiated. I guess Trump got pissed.
Yeah, I was going to say, Trump has to be pissed, because every day that goes by, he loses political capital and basically becomes a neutered president.
Exactly.
But yeah, so today was supposed to be the vote. He couldn't get the House. This is actually like the bill that nobody liked. Okay. Like, so it sort of like reminds me of when Bill Clinton was trying to pass welfare reform in the 90s. There was like it wasn't conservative enough for the more conservative members of the 94 revolution. It wasn't liberal enough for the liberal members. And so it reminds me of his triangulation strategy that he sort of pioneered in the second term of his presidency. Mm-hmm. And that is what Trump's running into, where the, you know, basically the non-Freedom Caucus Republicans are on board and aren't breaking rank. The conservative Democrats, who are really sort of the Trump voter in sort of his new electoral map, they are on board and supporting it. The liberals aren't. And actually, I shouldn't say that, because a lot of Democrats aren't going to break rank, but this is something they would support if they value keeping their seat. And then the Freedom Caucus is just flat no. And the thing is, the difficult thing is, the Freedom Caucus is opposing the most popular things about Obamacare that they are trying to maintain. Would you agree, Brian?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And is that sort of your read? I mean, you go ahead and chime in as well, because is that sort of your read on the situation?
Yeah, I mean, from what it comes down to, really, the main thing, and if you look at Justin Amash, he's been tweeting nonstop about this kind of stuff. God love him and Thomas Massie. But it looks like the main thing that they're really trying to focus on is avoiding the whole repealing the EHBs without making other substantial changes, which should actually make the bill worse. Because what happens is, with the bill in its current form, it would end up hurting the sickest people on the exchanges. So basically, the idea is that if you can eliminate the 10 categories of like what's considered the essential essential benefits, which would be like the maternity coverage, preventative care, and all the likes, yeah, that would drive down the cost of insurance and provide more choices. But the problem is that it would still leave in place the requirement that the insurers cover those with the pre-existing conditions. So that also creates the restriction charge more of a base on the health status, which is there's this theory that's been tossed around. It's called like community rating. So basically, in this marketplace, healthy people, they have the incentive to keep purchasing whatever the cheapest plan is possible, which makes sense because they know that if it comes down to it, they could always upgrade to the more, you know, the more comprehensive coverage plans, like if they ever get sicker, since those would be still community rated at a lower price. And then with that, insurers can reduce the number of the sicker people that are on their rolls by offering smaller and less inclusive coverage options.
Really, this is what's like sort of the biggest flaw of almost all of healthcare economics is based around is adverse selection. You know, they don't want to insure anybody that they have to spend money on. And so it sort of allows them, you know, they got a giveaway under Obamacare. They were able to, you know, hedge their risk by having those risk corridors that get bailed out if there are a lot of sick people. This sort of eliminates the guarantee profit they had built in under the existing program.
Exactly. And like if we can get it down to like basically one idea, it's that basically giving more choice to healthy individuals when it's community rated, where it's guaranteed, means that it's going to be worse coverage for those who are sicker.
Right.
Like that's just the main issue here with, I mean, we'll call it, you know, Obamacare light, essentially, because that's what it is. Only it's removing that the individual mandate. That's the main thing.
Exactly. And now it does create tax incentives in order to sort of nudge you toward purchasing coverage, but it absolutely repeals the IRS penalty.
Right.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, healthcare, it's the damnedest thing in the world because it's really hard to even talk about it, in my opinion. One, it depends on what side of it you're on. If you're over 50, you all of a sudden feel like you're going to get screwed with your pants on. But it also means that because you're over 50, you usually have had more time in your life to acquire assets and to save up money, and you're also starting to spend more on your health care, but you also traditionally can afford it because you've had more time to acquire assets. Younger people under Obamacare were basically bearing the burden of underpriced premiums for the elderly, and this removes that. So now there's an incentive for people like, you know, the under 35 crowd who really doesn't spend too much on healthcare on an annual basis. So for us, it's a great deal. But really, the only reason it's a great deal is because it's accurately priced at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and so I've gotten a lot of flack from libertarians because it's one of those things that I've always struggled with healthcare. It's one of those things where you are dealt a bad hand sometimes. Like, sometimes you just didn't get a good... Like, there are people who live their life in a way that they should have to spend money and pay for those bad decisions. Mm-hmm. There are also people who are born into this world who didn't get a good hand.
Sure.
And it has nothing to do with anything other than they just didn't win the genetic lottery. And to me, healthcare has always been something where I took a class in grad school for healthcare economics, and I always felt that there should almost be like a disability fund for those type. Like the disability fund we have should really cover people who just got a bad deal.
Mm-hmm.
Then we should decouple health insurance and then, you know, known health existing issues you're going to have, because it isn't, you shouldn't have insurance if you know you're going to need blood pressure medicine every month because you don't follow any of the wellness programs.
Right.
And so there isn't, it is just such a complicated issue because yes, if you live your life healthy, you shouldn't have to bear the burden of the cost of subsidizing someone else. But I am of the mindset that as a society, there are certain things we just decide we want collectively because it's not a matter of anything other than you got a bad deal.
Right.
And so we're willing to fund that through taxes, through like a general disability fund for those types of individuals.
And right. One thing too, Greg, that it's – I think this is the thing that people seem to forget is that the whole idea of government helping those individuals who, like you said, were dealt a bad hand – it was meant for those individuals. What's happened is it's become so inflated over the past, you say, what, 60 years, we'll say, since really FDR.
Yeah.
So 80 years, that it's almost become, you know, this entitlement mindset where the basic coverage has grown and grown and grown far beyond the scope of what was ever intended. So now you have people who they don't need to have the government handout for healthcare. They on their own could, you know, have the catastrophic coverage, you know, say the millennial generation. We can have the catastrophic coverage. It's the older generation who have grown up with this mindset of the entitlement that they've been paying into it and now they want to see it come back in return. The problem is that now it's so overinflated that it won't exist without the millennials putting into it, and that's where we're having the issue today.
Right, and that's the other thing, too, is it's a demographic bomb. It's a demographic bomb because the baby boomers are the largest segment of the population. Ugh. And
did you guys see the Huffington Post article today about how all baby boomers are narcissists?
No offense. And I laugh no offense every second of reading it.
Yeah. Nobody hates the baby boomers like Chris Fengel.
No.
Nobody.
They've made our life miserable.
But then, you know, you have people like Hannah who probably spend... How often do you go to the doctor?
I'd rather not say, but not very often.
Lots of testing.
I mean, yeah.
Just for certain things.
You're 23?
22.
So, like, you probably never go.
No.
Right? Like, you know, you're sick right now, and I doubt you went to the doctor.
Not going.
Right. And, like, Harry, how often would you say you go?
I think I've gone once in a decade.
Right. And we're the same. 31?
Yeah.
So, like, it's the same way. Like, I'll go if I have, like, pneumonia or, like, something. And, Brian, like, I don't know how old you are. I apologize. But I'm sure you're close to somewhere between 25 and 32.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like you go when you need to go. And that's, I mean, like, very similar in that same kind of mindset. You don't go, you know, if you have a cough, which unfortunately that's kind of been the mindset of like, oh, I have a cough, need to go to the nurse. When you're growing up in school, that mentality carries on when you're, you know, when you're in your 20s, and you're like, oh, I don't feel good, I should go to the doctor. Where it could just be, you know, sit at home on your ass, have some tea and relax, and you'll get better.
Right, exactly. And
which sounds harsh, but it's the reality.
It absolutely is. And it also, I mean, it's not, it sounds harsh, but it also does something else. Is if you look at the type of medical services and products that are offered where there isn't a third party insurance that are paying for the cost, the prices plummet, like LASIK, plastic surgery, all the ones that aren't third party issued end up actually, you know, being in a competitive marketplace that drops the price. When it's third party, it'd be just like if we gave everyone in this room a voucher and said, go buy whatever car you want. It's how much you get is based upon how old you are and how much of an insurance risk you are. The people that had the least risk would get the highest voucher, and they would go out and buy a more expensive car, driving up the cost of the entire all aggregate spending within that car market. And that's exactly. The same thing with university. Any type of third-party payment system does nothing to control the cost curve. Like, everybody talks about single payer. The only reason that has any benefit in controlling the cost curve is because it isn't a market. They literally dictate pricing until there's a shortage of care, and then they have to up the amount of money that they'll pay to providers.
Yeah. Right. And the other thing is that it also prevents other people to bring innovation to it with that third party. Because, like, when Walmart got into doing optometry, like, the Walmart dropped the price on, like, getting eyeglasses and stuff like that, just like when a Walmart tries to get into trying to do a bank.
Right. And now there are variation in service because you're not going to go to Walmart if you have, like, a rare disorder and go talk to the 3 a.m. nurse practitioner that's right there and be like, I'm probably going to die. And she gives you Robitussin and is like, oh, you know, here's a recommendation for a specialist.
Correct, yeah.
You know, but that's the nature of the beast. And I tell you, like, I was when I was doing the research, I don't know if you guys felt like this, or Brian, or you in particular, but I felt it's so overwhelmed to even know where to start, because it's a turd that we're dealing with.
Absolutely.
Like, Obamacare is a turd. The one thing I do like is that it block grants Medicaid, because that puts a sort of a hard cap on it, rather than, you know, as it is now, where it's incentivized for states that, you know, increase the amount of people that are on Medicaid. They get subsidized funds from the federal government until XYZ date. Then it's going to overwhelm state budgets. Like, it is going to – any state that ends up actually performing as they want them to will end up spending 60% of their general budget or general fund each year on Medicaid. And I think that's an absolute nightmare for anyone involved. And something I know that Governor Pence here in Indiana was desperately trying to avoid. But at the same time, you know, you also have a lot of sick people who are you're still spending money on anyway. And it ends up you run deficit financing and using any of your surplus funds as a state government in order to plug those holes. But you know it's going to continue going forward.
And one thing, too, I mean, that this kind of goes a different direction. But people keep on talking about insurance coverage under Obamacare and then the new Republican version, as if, like, you know, you're better off if you have insurance coverage. It's not a matter of the coverage. It's a matter of actually getting seen by the doctor.
Yes.
And I'm not sure if you guys learned back that much, but he was talking about how his wife, she had some issue with, she thought it was a tooth issue. And he's like, no, go to the doctor. I want you to go to a neurologist and see what's going on, because this shouldn't, you know, a toothache should make your entire, you know, head hurt like it is right now. And they were able to get in that night at 6 o'clock. Versus, you know, let's say you're in, you know, Canada or Great Britain. Yeah, you're covered, but you might not get seen for 30 days, you know,
yeah,
3 months.
It's literally designed so that hopefully you die before they have to spend money on you. Like, I know that in a lot of cases, especially the very rare type cases, which I'm not actually that against, because, you know, Mother Earth and population control. But ideally, this is America and we have freedom. You know, so
we need a new plague.
Exactly. You know, like, I'm not so against rationing care to, you know, people from Metamora, like, you know, Hannah's from, yeah. You know, right. We could do less fewer Metamora people in this world.
Yeah. Agreed.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. She was down.
I'm at the top of the heap there. So
are you a one percenter?
Honestly, she was down on the foam roll earlier. So, yeah, she can stay. So you should have seen what we saw.
Literally. Or I can't say that because your dad's going to listen.
So,
but you know what?
Go ahead.
If I may, Chris, really quick, like, one thing that just, it's so hard as libertarians or Republicans, conservatives, to have the healthcare argument, because we don't approach it from the emotional standpoint. And that's where we instantly will always have a really hard time trying to appeal to the average everyday American, because the left is always going to be able to instill the emotional component to, oh, well, do you want to get sick? Oh, what about your mom and dad? Do you want to see them suffer? And we are coming at a logical standpoint saying, well, you know, let's look at the cost. Let's look at how we can break this down to make it so it's more affordable. But
and they're sitting there saying, why do you want sick cancer kids to die? And you're like, wait,
exactly.
But wait, you know, it's the damnedest thing to try to get through.
Yeah, and that's the worst part.
Well, what are your favorite parts of the bill?
I mean, I think you really hit the nail on the head with the Medicaid.
That's me too.
That's
going to
be a really, that's going to be the really biggest thing. And you know, it's funny. I'm originally from upstate New York, and I follow some of my congressmen up there on Twitter, and all their support that they've been promoting the bill on is entirely based on Medicaid. It has nothing to do with getting rid of the individual mandate. It has nothing to do with the keeping the pre-existing conditions. It's solely focused on Medicaid. And I think that they're just trying to promote that, you know, beating a dead horse to validate in their minds why it's okay that they're pushing it as hard as they are. And, you know, I see local representatives up in my home districts that are like, oh, yeah, that's exactly what we want, because then we can have the ability to control the Medicaid. But that's pretty much, you know, while that's a good part.
How do you feel about the more accurate pricing being reflected for age ratings?
I think that's it's definitely better than what we have now.
Right.
But again, the main thing it comes down to, I think, it really does go back to that community, the community rated environment. Like, that creates just this never ending cycle of almost like a detriment, you know, damned if you are, or damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah.
Because you'll end up having the coverage, but it doesn't matter if the coverage, because it's going to be worse coverage for those who end up getting sicker, regardless of their age, regardless of their pre-existing conditions, because when it comes down to it, the health people, they're going to purchase the cheapest plan. So it doesn't matter what the value of the plan is that you have if you, you know, are an older individual. It's going to be worse coverage or worse care regardless.
Right, right. Now, that isn't necessarily a selling point for you, but like for you personally, you do gain.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Like as a younger, fit guy, like I would, you know, definitely benefit from that. But at the same point in time, you know, the problem is that if, let's say, you know, 10 years down the road, I get in a horrible car accident. Well, you know, normally an insurance company wouldn't look at me and say, oh, you're a great candidate for our insurance program. But if I'm in the community rated system where they can't touch pre-existing conditions, I can move up on that plan with no additional costs to me as an individual.
Yeah.
So even if I could pay more, I don't have to. And that's the issue right there, is that
you're going to have really people gain the system in time of need.
Exactly. And that's I mean, I don't want to say crony capitalism, but I mean, that's cronyism only in the healthcare industry right here.
Right. Now, Harry, how do you is there anything about the bill that you like? Because I know you are more of a true libertarian than I, a little L. Like, you're much more closer to the voluntarist than I am in reality. So I don't know how you feel about it, because you have a pregnant wife and you're getting ready to be a father. So like, right, this affects you quite a bit.
Yeah. There's really hardly anything in the bill that I do like. I feel like there's a lot of scare tactics that what happened in the Obamacare bill, and that this bill, they'll just try to like the pre-existing condition thing that always like try to scare people. But if you had health insurance when you were 16, you bought it when you're 18, instead of buying a new phone, you were covered in those. If any conditions you got, as long as you kept insurance, you didn't never had a pre-existing condition. That never was a factor. That was just more for people who get a condition than just start trying to get health insurance at that point. But yeah, no, there's really nothing in this bill I do like. And I do understand what you say, because like even my pregnant wife, she recently was looking at changing her health insurance plan, and she straight up went to the lowest cost payment. I'm like, well, I like this one. I'm like, listen, you're pregnant, you're gonna hit the doctor more and more this whole year, and then when when Gunther is born, you know,
girl or boy, Gunther,
girl, and when Gunther is born, she's going to be hitting the doctor. So you can't pick this low plan. And you have to pick something that it will so you can hit it.
So you preached individual responsibility to your pregnant wife after you infected her?
Yes.
Hannah, how do you feel? Are you under your parents still?
I am, yes.
Now, Brian, do you know, I didn't catch that. Is that still going to be a part of it where you can stay on if you're 26, up to 26? I didn't see that anywhere.
Did we lose it?
Are you still there?
Audition.
You know what? Sorry, Brian, start over. That was my fault. Go ahead.
Oh, no, no worries. Yeah, no, the 20, under 26 under your parents' insurance, that's still going to be a thing.
I was going to say, that's
just because
such a,
that would have been.
Yeah, isn't that such a low expense?
Huge kick in the nuts.
Right, yeah. So really, it doesn't affect you at all.
I mean, I have to be honest, though. Yeah. I have always had dental and vision under my parents until I was.
Have you?
Until I was 21, and I just turned 22, so now I'm kicked off. But for the last 4 years, I haven't even used it.
Yeah, so wait, you're not going to stay on your parents?
I'm going to, as long as they will let me.
Oh, okay.
But now I'm kicked off of vision and dental.
Oh, okay.
I can stay on health.
Well,
but
yeah, that.
Either yeah. The little snaggle tooth.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't sure if it was meth mouth or what it was.
No, yeah, yeah. Both.
Wow. Totally kidding.
No, yeah.
Totally kidding.
Could you please stop crushing oxys while you're sitting here?
No. I'm totally joking.
No, yeah, I don't have snaggle teeth.
No, but, no, because you were going to be a dental hygienist.
Yeah, I actually have pretty solid teeth.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I haven't even used it since, you know, in college. I don't even use it. So.
Yeah, so it's not a big deal to you?
Not a big deal at all.
So I guess I don't understand. So I'm the rare libertarian that supports this, and I was getting just completely shit upon today or last night by Jeremiah Morrill. Lion Jer was just like tar and feathering me and then posting everything he possibly could think of to try to shame me. And I was like, listen, the thing for me is I try to take a historical look at it. And every time we've ever had an entitlement program, it has grown. It's never been repealed. The only one, under Bill Clinton, we were able to reform it from a guaranteed benefit under welfare to a time-limited benefit. And so I see any opportunity we actually get to even make the slightest change. Like, yes, Obamacare is arguably as bad of ways you could design a healthcare bill. This makes it slightly less shitty. And it, like, the biggest thing to me for Obamacare that's just a killer in the long run is the Medicaid. And so I'm a lot like your state representatives, Brian, in that alone and the more accurate change and reflection in pricing, because right now it's just pure cost shifting from young people to old people. And I don't know that there is going to be another opportunity to actually reform this. If it is not done, and it is not done now, I don't know that we get a second shot ever. Because that's where I am, and I'm going to be tarred and feathered by everybody. It's like, you're statist, right. Yell that. But, to me, when the opportunity presents itself to make the, Harry just did the autistic screeching symbol at each other. But, for me, I look at it and say, we have very rarely had the opportunity to actually repeal elements of the welfare state, and this is a time when we do. We're going to do it, and a lot of the changes, it's a three-phase plan, so it makes the assumption that come 2020, it's still a Republican House, Republican Senate, or Republican President, and that's very iffy.
Sure.
Which historically would not be correct either, based upon just election outcomes following three parties controlling them all. But I do think that if they don't do it, it will be a 2018 tidal wave that would be a left-wing version of the Tea Party.
Mm-hmm. The Tea Party.
And so at that point, it's off the table for good, because then people will be used to Obamacare. They won't want it to be changed. It'll become, kind of phased in. And then we are looking at Obamacare, which is really just it's a way to turn the insurance companies into government-managed zombies that'll be single-payer for all intents and purposes.
Sure.
Yeah,
and if I may, really quick, Greg, I mean, I think, honestly, that a lot of the House Freedom Caucus, they're in your camp. They want to see it pass, but I think the main thing they want to see is with the essential health benefits, that being focused on where they make the substantial changes that would actually push the House Freedom Caucus to actually vote for this bill.
Right.
And that seems to me, that's the talking point from Mark Meadows, Justin Amash, Thomas Massey. Like, they're all out there saying, fix the essential health benefits issue that's taking place right now, and we'll probably vote for it. Because for them,
those are the most popular polling things.
Exactly. And so, that's the thing, is like, if they can make that work, I think you'd see most of the House Freedom Caucus jump on board and pass this, because like you're saying, if it doesn't get passed, I mean, the pragmatic reality is that it won't get fixed in the future.
Right. And I think if they make the adjustments, Trump ends up reneging on his promise, and it's a tidal wave either way, because a lot of people are betting that he is going to still protect the poor in this plan. Or, that's how he positioned it while he campaigned. So if he reneges on that, then I think you're screwed electorally either way. And the people who are really like, to me, I love Thomas Massey, I love Rand Paul, I love all these guys, but they are grandstanding because their seats are safe, and because they've made pledges to repeal it completely, and they know that if it isn't repealed now, then it isn't going to be repealed ever. But there is also, part of being a governing is taking opportunities when they're there, and what is there to get. And I get it that they're actually using Trump's art of the deal negotiation tactics literally, Rand Paul did a presentation where he, went
with the art of the deal.
Yeah, with the art of the deal on this. But, which, God, he's the best damn troll in Washington. He really is, other than the president. I don't know. This is something where I'm going to get crucified, but I'm used to that, because hell, I supported Trump anyway. But, I just think this is the time to repeal it when it's there. And if you don't and it passes, you get, it's suicide in the next, at the midterms. If you do it and cave on the most popular parts, it's suicide. If you do it the way it is, you live to fight another day. And that's just sort of, I guess the opinion I arrived at. How about anybody else? Hannah, how do you feel? Because I know you're a hardcore libertarian.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't read your thing, so.
Damn.
I didn't read your thing.
Let me get back to you on that.
Well, I wouldn't expect you to. You're a woman. You have a smaller brain.
Right. It's going to take. I have to still read with an index card. So with a phone, it made it a little harder,
You sure you're getting a degree?
Learning curves.
Do you go to the South Harmon Institute of Technology?
I do.
Are you a shit sandwich?
I do. University of shit.
This is really something. Yeah. You know how many people would love to come on this podcast? Do you know how many people would love to sit in this chair?
I just really don't want this lecture.
Ed is willing to be abused by me just for the opportunity to learn at our feet.
Mm-hmm. What lecture?
This lecture where, like, I'm going to make broad statements, but I'm really aiming them at you.
No, I'm aiming them right at you. I mean, I thought
it was
very clear.
Yeah, no, I wasn't. We decided this last night, right? I said tomorrow, and you said yes, Thursday.
How do you feel about, like, so in the bill right now, the way it's protected is that, what is it? So right now, no taxpayer money would go, and not that this would ever be you, but for, like, I'm sure you've had friends in this situation with abortion. Let's be honest, okay. Folks. She referred to her friends that she rides horses with as...
As what? Oh, we call ourselves the Tard Train.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There have been some abortions.
T-A-R-D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We have T-shirts. I'll wear it next time.
Please do. Please do. But so, like, the way it's written now, and, like, I know you would agree, you don't want any taxpayer funding to go towards something where you might have, like, a religious... you know, objection.
Mm.
But, or not.
Are you pro-life or pro-choice?
Population control.
Pro-life or pro-choice?
Oh, I'm pro-choice.
All right, good.
All right, so you're pro-choice.
We can still date then.
But you don't think that it should be publicly funded?
Apparently on...
Right, of course.
Apparently on a previous podcast, I said I only dated pro-choice girls. I didn't remember.
Wow.
You did. I didn't remember saying
you were that. You were on like a heater, and you just like, you went there, and I was like,
all right.
I've never heard him say that, but I'm not even going to challenge him. That would literally be opposed to everything he believes religiously and like in his personal life, but whatever.
Oh.
So, yeah. So, this really just doesn't seem like healthcare and, like, you know, obviously your health doesn't matter that much to you. You know?
I guess you can tell. Yeah. I mean.
Because it's going to affect your life.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
I know you're, like, young and invincible at 22. So, like, we've all been there where you're like, oh, I'll never have any health issues ever. And then you, like, fall and rupture two discs and have to do physical therapy. And it's like, damn, I'm not invincible.
I mean, I know I'm from, like, rural America, but the public funding of abortion doesn't bother me as nearly as much as you might think it does.
What does any particular part of the healthcare bill bother you?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, I would rather have it all privatized, but.
And pay for it yourself.
Yeah.
Unless you're on your parents until 26.
Right? Can we bump that up?
Yeah, right.
Is that an option?
Okay, yeah. So you're like the perfect snowflake.
Right, right. And is there like a rule where as long as you're living in the basement, you can be on the...
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll add that in as a clause. We'll add the basementarian clause to the healthcare reform. Yeah.
Right.
It'll be only, you know, the hackers that Trump referred to that also could have performed the Russian hacking and then you.
Right.
Okay. Well, I mean, I get it because, like, you're 22, so this is, like, this is real life,
no,
and you're not at that point.
I completely agree with, like, what you say about third party billing. I mean, obviously we get charged for things, or they charge our insurance for things. Oh, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
No, my mom called the hospital once to say, where's my stainless steel surgical tray? I was charged for it.
Your mom went through the itemized?
Yeah.
Cheryl?
Yeah. And she said, where's my tray? I mean, I got charged for the $70 for this tray. I didn't get to take it
petty
home.
Petty as fuck.
Gangster.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm totally with you there.
I see. Okay. Yeah. I get it. And yeah. I know it's, you know, since you didn't prepare.
I didn't prepare.
And it's one of those things where you're going to coast till 26 on your parents.
Exactly. Call me in 4 years.
Yep. Yep. But I know, like, Aaron's had it, like, harder. Literally, I know I'm not allowed to let him talk, but I'll speak on his behalf. But so, like, Aaron's got two sons. He works for a small business, and he's had to do it on his own. Yep. Like, and it's not cheap for a family. It is, I would guarantee you, you're spending close to $1,500 a month. $1,475 each month out of his own pocket just to
Jesus.
Make sure that his own sons, like, can get a bone repaired.
Don't have it, so I got the big tax.
It was so expensive, he went ahead and took the penalty. I mean, because that was easy, that was cheaper.
Yeah.
And then, you know, should it come up, he'll do what Brian and I were talking about earlier, get it when he absolutely needs it, you know, because that's one of the things that you'll still be able to take advantage of in this plan.
Yeah,
Yeah, just pretend like I don't have cancer for a few months and try to.
Well, that's now that this is the brilliant
that's
thing
that works out, Aaron.
Is if it weren't for super male vitality, you know, honestly, a lot of America would be in serious trouble.
Let's heal Aaron right now.
Like Spangles had legitimately every disease, and he's taking this perfect bill of health.
I'm actually putting this in the oil of my car.
That is a great idea. Can you imagine? It might change brands.
I'm literally putting super my male vitality. It'll be a Jeep Grand Cherokee.
It will.
By tomorrow.
That's not how you get a Hemi.
Won't even be a Jeep Grand Cherokee. It'll be. Come on, put it in your mouth. No, don't touch your mouth on it because I'm sick. But come on now.
Hold on. I need a second.
You wanted to make sure. Just do a double dose. It's all right. Oh,
get fully
wow.
Woke.
So, Brian, where are we at? Trump is, I literally just got a message saying Trump is threatening Republicans pass this now. I mean, so in terms of the passage of this bill, like, where are we at in the shenanigans? I mean, if you remember the reconciliation and the slaughter rule and all that stuff that went on, where are we at in terms of this bill?
You mean in terms of actually getting passed?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I asked. So I'm not sure if you guys follow Michael Cannon from the Cato Institute.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
he's been tweeting out that like Trump has been threatening to, put money into primary opponents against individuals that are going to vote against it from the Freedom Caucus, which is just I think insane because some of these guys are like the most staunch libertarian, freedom supporting representatives we have. So I'm not sure if that would be enough to push some of them to actually go ahead and change their vote towards yes. From what I'm gathering right now, I was reading when we were getting ready there in the beginning of the show brief, is that pretty much they're ready to go ahead and vote on this tomorrow regardless. Trump said that he's going to move on, and if they don't pass the replacement bill, he's going to leave Obamacare in place and let it be what it is and watch it fail. And then use that as a means to basically destroy the careers of the Freedom Caucus who doesn't support it. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing his name. I'm like you, Chris. I can't pronounce names right. Mulvaney, he's a representative there from the Freedom Caucus. He basically said Trump's done negotiating, and he's going to have that vote done tomorrow regardless of what happens. So that's where we're at right now. And that's
Mick Mulvaney is the head of the budget.
Yeah,
head of the, I think, OEMB.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, and he's as libertarian of budget directors we probably had since Mitch Daniels, really. But he has been someone who's had to get nasty for the first time in his career, and I've enjoyed watching someone from Rand's staff who's not usually like alpha, you know, other I guess than the Southern Avenger, Jack. What's his name?
Jack Hunter.
Yeah, Jack Hunter. The Luchadoro mask at the Confederate Luchadoro mask. But it's been interesting to see Trump's really picked an eclectic mix of people who've had interesting careers come up, and to see Mick Mulvaney, a guy who's very libertarian but also very wonkish and very nerdy, have to be this alpha negotiator in order to try to get this damn thing through. It's sort of a disconnect. I'm not going to lie. I feel like there have been some people who. There have been some people who are much like a Steve Bannon is a great, much better villain to go out and start threatening people's careers. A Rince Priebus is so beta. He doesn't, he just doesn't inspire fear in anybody. And the same with Mulvaney. And, Mike Pence is a guy who really operates in the shadows, a lot like Biden, filling a similar role that Biden did for Obama early on.
Until he comes out in a flash of lightning.
I'll tell you what, I was not really ever a Mike Pence fan until the electrocute the gays thing. Mike, what is it? What's the meme? Mike, up the get the clamps and up the amps. Like, I can't believe
that's when you became a fan.
Well, I know that. No, I don't. I didn't mean it. But like the fact that so our buddy that works for him or used to work for him, he sees those. Those get forwarded to Mike Pence, and he laughs.
No.
You're kidding.
I swear to God, he wants to see them. Like, he gets five of them, like, that he really likes, and the one is him where he is completely charged, and it says, repent.
That is an amazing
I know. So, like, I didn't really care for him until I heard that, and I thought, he's a solid dude. If you can be that, joking about yourself, then you're the kind of guy I'd get along with.
That's
all right.
Funny.
Yeah, and plus, we tried it on Seth, and it didn't work.
We did. We tried to shock the gay out of Seth.
I bought some clamps. We tried it, and he just still, came after you.
Yeah, I know. Well, look at me.
High tea.
So much male vitality that night that he just couldn't stand it.
No, no. Brian, have you ever had your tea tested?
I haven't had my tea. Okay, I gotta tell you, like, completely honest, for the longest time I was listening to you guys, and I was like, is this, like, super male vitality thing a real thing? And then I Googled it, and I found it, and I was like, holy shit, people actually buy this. Because it wouldn't exist if people didn't buy it.
Absolutely.
Well, you're probably, like, his number one customer. So, I mean, there you go. But, no, I have not had my tea tested. Probably should. Yeah.
I mean, there's maca root and other things in it that are, like, legitimate salvia. What are you doing over there?
Nothing.
She's, like, moving her tongue like a snake. All of a sudden,
she's woke as fuck.
She sees the male vitality. And she just starts getting all randy. But it's got stuff in it that's legitimate, and it fucked Bittner up. Bittner, who hasn't had any carbs for months, he got you buzzed.
Yeah.
Are you buzzed right now?
Has Miranda taken it?
No, we haven't, because she would grow.
Dear God, oh my God!
Are you a Miranda fan?
Oh my God, yeah, she's hilarious.
She really is. Yes, she's fantastic.
She's, oh my God, she's phenomenal. She's so funny.
I've only met one Miranda in my entire life, and I know that I'll never meet another.
You will never meet Miranda Barnett again.
You just, okay. Not like people named Miranda.
No. I know like a lot of Mirandas that are trashy, but they're all MIR.
Oh, Miranda's not trashy.
No, that's what I mean. Is she's like the first non-trashy Miranda I've ever met, but it's because she spells her name with an A.
Right.
It's true.
Yeah, and like every Hannah I've met who doesn't have the H at the end, so it's not a palindrome, is really trashy too.
Has a little odor issue too.
Did you like palindrome? That's like a 600 S or 1600.
Do you know what
SAT
palindrome
score?
Means?
Word.
No. Continue.
Race car. Same. Forward and backward.
Yeah. Like Hannah.
Math.
Like the wrong way of spelling Hannah.
Mm-hmm. Words.
Yeah. Yeah. Pronouns and verbs.
Is it race car.
Race car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trafalgar.
This
raggle
is
fart. Raggle fart. Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm being hard on you, and I shouldn't be. Yeah. You're our guest. I brought you Busch Light.
You did. I'm super thankful.
And you get to keep the rest.
Really?
That's all yours.
Oh, that's so nice. I don't know. Have we went through Busch Light lingo before?
We haven't.
So these She's from the country. She's just going to drunk drive home. Great.
Honestly, so. I've been out, two nights now? And I'm so impressed. She can go and I can't tell. Like,
she drinks so much.
I'm a little bit German. Yeah.
Like, I'm impressed. Like, I had no idea. You got a little bit more mouthy,
father.
But...
No, I think I just get more comfortable as I go on. I don't think it has anything to do with the alcohol.
Yeah.
John Weber's a legend. I want John on the show.
I think, we're doing a Metamora field trip this summer.
Yeah.
If I can get my fucking car to make it out to Metamora.
Right, you might have to rent a car. But
no, we're doing a...
You could Uber.
We'll get a TARD train.
So anyway, this is Busch Light, but it's also referred to as Busch Nasty. So if you were to buy just regular...
And water.
Bush.
Yes.
I don't need that kind of negativity in my life. Can we shut his mic off?
Yes.
Okay. So,
wrong.
Okay, you've got to go. He's got to go.
I know.
But
Kids Ice House is better.
Again, mic off. Can we get it? Okay. Anyway, so and then if we were to just buy regular Bush, that's Bush Diesel.
Do you drink regular Bush?
No,
it was sitting right next
to
him. I was like,
if
a little bit.
You can tell, I spent a lot of time working on my figure, so I like to stick with the Busch Light.
Gotcha.
I think
it's,
what is it, 90 calories? I think.
You think?
Uh-huh.
I think that's close.
If only they printed it on every can.
They don't.
They don't?
They actually
no,
do not.
No, I think it's on here.
That is one of the few times your lack of drinking
no,
has
it's
like...
No, it's 95.
Yeah.
It's 95
it
calories.
That?
It's 95
Where?
Calories. It says it.
It's there. Like the law. You have to put it on there.
It's like
4.1 alcohol.
Also, she has illegal tent. I'm just going to be honest.
Hey, now.
On your FJ?
Y'all don't say that.
On that diesel car.
It's a Toyota FJ.
No,
so like
it's not. No, we're talking about my cruise. I have a diesel cruise.
That's right. She does have. Yeah.
It's got illegal tent.
I didn't put the illegal tent on there.
But you kept it.
Yes, I did.
That won't matter to the police.
I have six. Yeah. I have special eyes. I used to work in Florence, and I would drive east in the morning, which...
What happened?
The sun...
Yeah, what happened
just,
to your job in Florence,
Kentucky? It's still there. That job does still exist in Florence.
You just don't go anymore?
You ever seen Office Space?
Yeah. She just stopped showing up.
Great movie.
Never
exactly.
seen Office Space. Every, like, person
That's
over a certain
made,
age, I'm
oh,
going to say
stop,
30.
Age shame me, do it.
I'm
going to
say at least
you.
30. They always are like, this place is just like Office Space. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
What was your favorite comedy when you were a child?
Like comedy, like what stepbrothers? Like,
would that be what it is?
That's what we watched in, like, in junior high and high school.
So, like, that's the one you guys, like, referenced and, like, joked about?
Oh, that's like, how we communicate.
Why are you sweating? Because I was watching Cops.
Honestly.
Exactly. Yeah. This house is a prison. That's how I feel right now. It's a little bit.
Grandma's boy? That's race car bed?
Never. I wasn't old enough to watch that.
Honestly, I'm so distracted right now. Aaron is taking photos with the cat. Harry is leaning across the table showing things on his phone. What is happening tonight?
It's because a Bush Light is 95 calories.
Is that licking his hair?
Yes.
0.7 grams of protein and 3.2 grams of carb.
Solid beer.
Yeah.
It is.
I mean, like, you know, health-wise, because, like, Michelob Ultra, or what's the one that's, like, the chick beer that looks like it's in a Red Bull can? Michelob Ultra.
Yeah, Michelob Ultra.
Yeah,
that's
like, that,
for rich.
That's even, like, even more water.
That's for, like, rich folks.
I used to think it was cheap. It's the same price like Miller Lite, Bud Light.
It is. It's premium beer.
No, it's not. It's, like, it's cheaper
was the same,
than Bud Light.
No, they were the same price tonight.
Are you sure? Because do you look at how many are in a case?
Yeah, you get 30.
Oh, that's true. That's true. They're the same price, but I get 30.
And you
it's
get,
like Keystone
what
Light.
Do you get, 24 in a Miller?
The volume up here versus the volume sold in Matamoros, where she's from in Franklin County, is a lot different.
Hey, I shared the article that it's the number one cheap beer.
No, Hams is.
No, it's not number one.
That was cunty.
Okay, can we go back to when Aaron didn't have a mic?
Disgusting.
Can we go back to that?
Thank you.
Hams is below Stroh's.
It's so nice for once to have you on my side.
I'm so with Chris on this. Can we just
Ice House, everything else.
See,
I literally can't even, Greg.
It literally took her an hour and 13 minutes because when we sat down, she was like, where's Aaron's mic? Does Aaron get a mic? That's not nice.
I did not say that.
And then
you're kind of basic.
And then you're like, this is my Hannah impression. Why doesn't Aaron get a mic? Doesn't he have a mic? I want a mic.
I have a sore throat.
Yeah, I know you do. Did you take my remedy suggestion?
Mm-hmm.
John Weber.
What?
I thought you were going a different route.
No.
Me too.
No. Gargle some tranny fluid. And so,
okay.
Brian, do you have a favorite beer?
You know, I'm from way upstate New York, like borderline Canada, Molson.
Yes.
Like, okay. Yeah. You know what? Yep. I can respect that.
It's Canadian.
It's Canadian.
So, like, we are very anti-Canadian.
So
Moosehead's better.
It's okay.
What? Harry, you people, I'll tell you. You people.
Well,
I'm not saying what kind of people, but you fucking people.
Right.
Moosehead's just a better Pilsner.
Oh,
superior Pilsner.
I feel so sick of hearing that word.
I need like a beer safe space around Harry.
So,
yeah.
So are you converting, maybe?
No, I always drink Busch Light.
Do you really?
Oh, I mean, like, well, I drink Dolls Too Hearted almost exclusively, but if not, like on the golf course for golf outings, I always drink Busch Light.
Right.
Because I think it tastes the exact same as Bud Light and Miller Light.
And it's usually cheaper.
No. Miller Light is way
Get him out of here. He's got to go.
Seriously. Really? Like, I really don't think... Coors Light... Okay, Coors Light to me tastes the most like it, but Bud and Miller have a slightly more distinct flavor.
I just love that she goes, get him out. Oh, God.
This Miller, like... It
tastes like Bud Ice.
Spangle, you didn't even weigh on when it, like, because I kind of feel like we discussed the good parts of the healthcare. It's really just kind of a slight, you know,
doesn't seem much different.
It really isn't.
Did you read all 11 pages?
It really is. It's still two bills, right? And like, so then it has to go to the Senate. That's the other thing. It has to go to the Senate, and the Democrats have the ability to rip out the whole clause about
aborted, if you will.
Yeah. They literally can abort the part where you don't have to publicly fund abortions. And so that's probably, like, assuming this thing passes, that's probably going to be added in. And I can't wait for Ted Cruz to weigh in on it, because you know how him and Mike Lee are going to, you know, feel about that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, it's, God, there is this, I guess this show's sort of emblematic of how difficult the healthcare situation is. It's so, one, it's difficult to talk about, because I guess one way to look at it is, like, do you support any type of funding for people that just got a bad hand?
Absolutely not.
Harry?
I come on, Harry.
What?
I'm not going to be more anarchist than you on this subject, am I?
For public funding of it with I can't. I want to be able to help those people, but not fight the threat of the gun. I'm not going to do it for that.
I certainly understand and see your point of view.
But oh, of course. Yeah, from, I'm not calling you like, sure, yeah, but like from a social Darwinist or anything.
But from a philosophical, it's like you can't. The intentions are always going to be good, but the outcome and the bureaucracy is never going to be effective, and you're always going to end up with what we have now.
Yeah.
And the growth that you've seen over the last 100 years in this area.
Correct. When you get someone who's weighs 500 pounds sitting on disability and Social Security check, that's the problem with it being like a government, like tax-based right. system.
It's really funny. I was listening to pretty controversial figure. Paul Gottfried was interviewed by Tom Woods a week ago or a week and a half ago. Paul Gottfried's sort of one of the people that was kicked out of the conservative movement under William F. Buckley when they were kicking out like the John Birch Society back in the 70s. And he was sort of the OG Richard Spencer. And it's funny. It's funny what they were talking about was the history of the conservative movement and how today's alt-right, it's funny, it isn't, they're not like fiscally conservative like that. Like when you listen to them talk about what they want and why they want what they want, they're okay with like a Sweden type model. Like they're okay for a social welfare state as long as it's for their
Americans.
People. Yeah, right. And so what's actually interesting, why that's relevant, is Vox put out this really great piece earlier this week where they were talking about the paradox of the liberalism is that Americans only support the social welfare state for their ethnicities.
Hmm.
And that's where it's broken down in Europe, and that's where it's broken down in the United States, and why that's sort of a flaw going forward is that everybody's okay with the social welfare state for as long as it's the people that they know locally and in their community. The second it's expanded to those lazy Mexicans or those, you know, rapist Mexicans, they're incredibly against it.
Sure.
And I think that's something that's going to be interesting going forward in American politics because we're seeing it sort of break apart Europe right now. You know, a lot of Europe's social welfare spending is going to be contingent upon basically ethnicity, it looks like, going forward.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I hate it that Richard Spencer's becoming relevant because like 4 years ago, this is a guy that wasn't nearly as, he would have never at the National Policy Institute before the election done a Hail Trump and let that be a soundbite. But he's an extremely well-read guy, and he was really, he nailed this commentary and saw this coming in America and that we're just sort of about 20 years behind, 25 years behind where Europe is.
Mm-hmm.
And what it talked about was how this has been seen coming on the right for so long and how this has been these guys that were cast aside are now they've arrived.
Yeah.
I mean, Stephen Miller is someone that, co-chaired the Duke Conservative Union with Richard Spencer, and he's in the White House. And so I'm going to be really interested to see how this goes because, like, Obamacare, it looks like we're going to get a slight reform or we won't and it's going to stay. But I've always just assumed it'd keep growing. And are you okay?
Yeah, I'm listening. Yeah, he's just making dick motions at me. He couldn't be more distracting of a person.
Oh, no, he's fine. Are you okay?
What are you doing? Now she's just leaving. She's got to pee. Oh, okay. All right. She just took her whole purse. Yeah, it's okay. But the seat's probably not as up because there are animals here.
You're not getting the mic back.
Cis male.
When you get back.
Yeah, Hannah, yes, Spangle, you're a white cis male.
I'm the captain.
And you just assumed her gender.
Absolutely. You're a white male.
Honestly, just take her mic.
I commandeered it.
I guess the only interesting thing to me was that I had always assumed, I guess one of the flaws of my logic is that I assumed that in America this will just keep going, like the welfare state will keep going. Mm-hmm. But as whites become a fewer and fewer of the majority in the United States, thanks, Harry. we may very well see the exact same thing that's happening in Europe, where it becomes very tribal, and they don't want to pay. You know, certain states want to go back and sort of take a step to a more federalist type state, where the states administer these just purely out of ethno-nationalism, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what's happening in Europe. That's why you're seeing that they're all these people, these social democratic, lifestyle utopianists, all of a sudden don't want to pay for people coming right into their country that don't look like them.
Yeah, interesting. All right, final thoughts on this, Brian.
I just wish we could get rid of all the 70 years of building this up. Honestly, it just kills me.
I know.
If there were a reset button,
it would be so different.
Yeah. Just unplug it and plug it back in and see what happens.
And instead, it's just like trying to... It's like trying to waltz in a straitjacket. Like trying to do anything, you know,
that's
with
a
this.
Perfect analogy.
You know,
analogy.
It's brutal. And I want repeal, and yet I know repeal is not reality. And then I want small reductions because they're there, but then I know that probably just continues it until Democrats are in charge.
Right.
And then I want the Liberty Caucus to stand strong, and then we get Obamacare, and it's like...
Yeah, and Obamacare
still... You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
You so are.
Yeah, and Obamacare still hasn't really kicked in full, like, all 18 wheels of anal justice full blower yet.
We're in the free part. Like,
right.
We're in you get the goodies, but you don't have to pay for it yet.
Right, yeah.
Which is scary.
Yeah, but because it's coming. Yeah, around the corner. As soon as everyone... Because, like, a lot of businesses, like, they've been locked into a lot of their four-year agreement right now, so they're having to re-up this year at full bore payments, so... most people's health insurance is going to go up after the end of the year. So if yours hasn't gone up, yours has stayed the same. Well, this is it.
Surprise.
Yeah, here it comes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, we can. All of a sudden it came due.
Yeah. I recommend, hey, if they don't repeal the law, learn Spanish and get ready to go to Mexico to get your health care done. Because it'll be cheaper to go to Mexico every time you need to, you know, your tooth taken care of.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so let's move on to our next topic. So we could talk about the terror attacks, but I feel like we've kind of covered that. So the other big news is what's going on now?
What happened? I was laughing about, like, just another terror attack.
Just another terror attack.
No, that's a perfect commentary because isn't that where we are as a society? It's like, oh, look, another Briton got stabbed.
Yeah, but it's kind of cool to watch, like, some of, like, the British liberals, like, their reaction to it. Like, no, it's like some of them are finally, like, are going off and saying, like, you know, that their culture is wrong. We should keep them over there. And if they keep coming over here, now we should bomb them. I'm like, wow, these liberals finally turned the corner.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can see all the details of the terror attack in our show notes on the episode on the website.
Do you mind if I just comment on one thing on
quick?
Because there is... something to me just is so fascinating, and it's something we were talking about, is what's happening in, like, our country and what's happening right now in Europe is that the clash of civilizations is taking place, and, like, liberalism is different. So, like, liberalism, if anyone's familiar with, like, Spinoza, is about, like, oneness, in that eventually we all just, like, melting pot, come together, there's no differences, kumbaya. Conservatism's different in that it's primal, and, like, there's this eternal goodness that's sort of based in a lot of its philosophical beliefs, and that there's this higher power, there's something good about being American that's, like, innate and primal. And it's a butting up that now liberalism is starting to have to adopt, like, the conservative parts. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so I am going to be so interested to watch all these people that have been kumbaya liberals their entire lives be like, no, none for you. You know, and then we're so desensitized to terror attacks, it's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You were born for 9/11.
Yeah, I was in first grade.
And you have, like, no recollection of it at all,
right? I do. I remember tourists.
For somebody like me, I was 18. Like, the tourists, to tell that story.
The tourists. I mean, I thought my sister had said that the tourists were attacking.
Right.
We got on the bus that
day. Gotcha.
But
yeah.
It had no emotional impact on you, did it?
No, she was crying. She had saw her teachers crying, so... whenever I got on the bus, my sister was crying, so then I cry.
Right.
But other than that, I didn't know why. Right. I just knew group cry, right?
Yeah.
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 Group cry.
And so now you're one of those snowflakes.
Trained you for college.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm non-binary. I appreciate it. You know,
right, gender fluid.
I had to get you here, and I had
Can
to
I borrow
like,
some gender fluid for
gender
my
fluid
car?
For, if you would have put gender fluid in your car, we wouldn't be in this
I
situation.
Literally was like, I didn't know if to tell her where Harry was going to come, because I thought she might be like, well, no, I'm non-binary, and that's binary.
Trust me, if we look back in Harry's past, there's some binary and non-binary.
That's true. There's a picture that proves that Harry is somewhere on the spectrum of fluidity.
Especially when alcohol gets in, you know, my system, yeah.
And then you go up there and LARP with those free staters?
Mm-hmm.
Starts LARPing.
Uh-oh.
So let's talk about the Trump investigation, because there's been some interesting developments, and it's starting to look like Trump saying that he, like, I just don't think that Donald Trump could get on Twitter and say, I've been spied on, and not have some sort of inside information as to that being the case. You know what I mean? And so
and it was targeted.
Sure.
And specific.
What was that? Did you just...
That was me.
Beating off?
I know. I'm sighing a little bit because, like, could Trump not go on Twitter and say something that's not true? I mean, look at what he did during the primaries against, like, Ted Cruz, where he was like, you know, Ted Cruz's dad was with Lee Harvey Oswald.
Okay,
like,
but here's a fact.
That's fact. I don't know what I don't know why you're spreading fake news.
Here's
lying dead.
Here's a fair point, and I like that you challenged me because it gives me a chance to explain this, okay? Donald Trump has access to a lot of information, a lot of security briefings, and I have thought all along that that stuff is going to leak out on his Twitter at some point, and he's going to accidentally expose national secrets on Twitter, and I think that this is probably a case of that. And so there's the House Intel Chairman, Devin Nunes, spoke to reporters when he left the briefing at the White House and had some stunning things to say. And so these are some of his statements. He briefed the president on concerns over incidental collection. President, quote unquote, president needs to know these intel reports exist. Some of what I've seen seems to be inappropriate. Trump and others in the transition put into intelligence reports. And the question is if Trump should be in the normal reports. And the punchline is there are multiple FISA warrants outstanding against Trump. Nunes also told reporters there are multiple FISA warrants out there involving Trump. The FBI is not cooperating with House Republicans and their investigation into the NSA's surveillance of the 2016. That's right. That's how fancy people say it, Harry. And Nunes said that he had briefed the president about his concerns over the incidental collection of data because he felt like the president needed to know that he was in these reports. And so what was most troubling in the Nunes presser is the aftermath of Monday's congressional hearing that with James Comey, in which the FBI director said on the record there had been no surveillance of Trump. Surveillance. I can't say it any other way. Surveillance of Trump. Is the House Intel Commission Chair's statement that the FBI is not cooperating with the investigation. Quote, unquote, quote, we don't actually know what happened yet to General Flynn, Nunes said, of how the communications from Flynn's calls were leaked to the press. We just know that his name leaked out, but we don't know how it was picked up yet. That was one of the things that we asked for in the March 15th letter, was how the NSA, CIA, and FBI, to get us the information on how the unmasking was done. And I'll tell you, the NSA is being cooperative, but so far the FBI has not told us whether or not they're going to respond to our March 15th letter, which is a couple of weeks old now, and that he cannot rule out President Obama ordering the surveillance. How do you say it?
Surveillance.
Surveillance.
Strategery.
Surveillance. I say surveillance. I think it's much classier. Finally, and contrary...
Nuclear.
Finally, and contrary to earlier media reports, Nunes clarified that the surveillance was not related to the FBI's investigation into possible collusion with Russia. This surveillance, he emphasized to reporters, does not have anything to do with Russia. So we talked in the CIA episode, which, by the way, I went back and listened to episode 198 today because I wanted to get an idea of how it sounded, how the show sounded, just to tweak things. Harry is the most fascinating character on We Are Libertarians in years. I can't wait to peel this onion more. Onion. And I have to say, you hear like, oh, well, you hear us talking about taping up your microphones and all this stuff because the NSA and the CIA might come in and tap. And what if I've got nothing to hide, General Flynn proves that anybody can be vulnerable at any time because they tapped his phones, they used that information for political reasons, theoretically, and look where he's at now. His reputation ruined and his job ended.
Absolutely. Like, I personally believe that he didn't do anything wrong whatsoever at all, and that it was a rabid press feeding a narrative, and they made the wrong decision. And, you know, granted, he's not supposed to speak on behalf of the executive branch when he's not a member of it at that time, but I feel like it was... You know, I'm probably biased, but if it had been me and I had been President Trump, I would have given him a promotion and a raise. you know, yeah. But that, just to make the liberals even more outraged. But that's kind of my mindset. I'm becoming more and more anti-left before I'm anything.
So put some of this into context. I mean, is this all new developments?
Oh, this, I mean, and so from my perspective, now granted, there's going to be people that contend this because it's Republicans investigating a Republican.
Sure.
So it, you know, has the appearance of impropriety, but I personally think that there is a very good case that, as Andrew Napolitano wrote in an article, that President Obama will probably escape any type of prosecution. But I personally think that he requested he be tapped, and that instead of ordering it through the FBI, it was given to him by GHCQ in Britain. And he very much conducted a Watergate type of scandal and got away with it and will get away with it. That is my personal opinion. And when you see that, this is something that's going to, you know, probably come out more, but there is a whistleblower that I actually linked to the article. Guy named Larry, an attorney named Larry Klayman, is representing Dennis Montgomery, who's a CIA and NSA contractor that was a whistleblower and tried to go through traditional mediums. He stole 600 million pages of information, 47 hard drives worth, most of which is classified. And in it certainly appears that the Hammer program that came out in the WikiLeaks dump, or the Hammer or something virus, was being used to conduct surveillance on top-level officials, including Supreme Court justices, as we'll find out as more leaks are confirmed. And I just have the feeling that this is confirmation of the deep state.
Right.
It is complete manipulation through personal means. They're using any dirt they can find personally in order to manipulate free and fair elections, as well as Supreme Law of the Land rulings. And in my personal opinion, I believe, like Glenn Beck called it back during the Obamacare challenge, that the way that opinion was written, where Justice Roberts authored a dissent style, and it was a majority consensus opinion, I think he wrote it a dissent, and I think this isn't confirmed, and this is purely hearsay, but I believe that his opinion was influenced by surveillance.
And so basically what Glenn Beck speculated at the time, took a lot of crap for, and we found interesting, was the theory that this just doesn't make sense. Why would Justice Roberts uphold the Obamacare ruling when he's a conservative justice
and write it as a dissent?
What do they have on him that they've threatened him with?
Either he had the biggest conscience of crisis ever, not wanting to play politics with the court, which is very just as well likely. The way our government operates anymore, I assume they're guilty of everything and they have to prove themselves innocent.
Yeah.
You're not going to give them the benefit of the doubt on a single thing.
Absolutely.
Like, if I hear that it's rumored about our government, I believe it's true, and the burden is on them to prove that it is not. She needs another Starbucks, doesn't
she? I feel like we're boring her. Are we boring you?
No.
Okay. Hang in there.
Okay.
What do you want to talk about?
Taylor Swift or?
Oh, yeah, Taylor Swift.
22. So,
yeah, I am feeling 22. I don't know about you guys.
No, I feel 22 all the time. Brian, what are your thoughts on all this? I mean, you're a fresh perspective on a lot of the CIA stuff. I mean, our listeners obviously know where we stand on WikiLeaks and all this stuff after the last few episodes and the Russia stuff. I mean, what has your opinion of Trump being a Russian plant evolved? I mean, where do you see this coming down?
Well, honestly, I see it from both perspectives, just because, I mean, number one, what you guys have covered with the Vault 7, that was an absolutely phenomenal episode. Because, I mean, Greg, you and Harry went into such detail into, like, what they were actually doing. And, it really does make you open your eyes. And you couple that with, we're on record with, I think it was James Clapper, the head of the NSA, right?
Yeah.
When he was in, under the committee hearing saying, like, oh, we weren't spying on Americans. And then, Edward Snowden comes out and shows, oh, yeah, they actually were spying on Americans.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised by anything at this point. And that's a really good thing to bring up. But, like, at the same point in time, it's so hard to ignore the connections that exist. I mean, and I think the glaring, beacon right there that is, like, the biggest connection is Paul Manafort. And he wouldn't have stepped down as campaign chairman as if there was nothing that was wrong. And that really raised a red flag because, I mean, it sounds so cliche. Like, if you have nothing to hide, then what do you have to worry about? For him to step down in such a manner, not only just such a manner, But it was, you know, under the cover of darkness, essentially, just he phased out and Kellyanne Conway took his place. I really feel that there's something more that we're not aware of on either side, you know, where Democrats are pushing so hard this narrative that Trump was fueled by the Russians to win. But at the same point in time, the reality is that our government's surveillance agencies, they do so many things behind the scenes and lie to us to our face. And we've caught them lying to our face, that there's so much to really dig through. But it's so difficult for us as just, you know, average everyday citizens to do that, because we don't have the means. We don't have the ability to really, you know, meet with these individuals. And I just think there's a lot that we really won't know until probably 50, 60 years from now, when, you know, the dust settles and we're able to really go back and reflect on truly what happened. So I'm honestly completely up in the air on this. I think it could go either way. I think a lot of shady things that happen on both sides of the aisle. But like I said, it's just things that we don't know, and I don't think we will know for a long time.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those things. And by the it's going to be, honestly, I believe it's going to be like JFK. By the time we do actually know, nobody's going to care. There should be this huge outrage.
Exactly.
You know, there should be like a march on Washington. And at the end of the day, it's like, it's all right. Does my EBT card still work? You know, or what, you know, can I still use, you know, dollars in order to go and fund things? And instead, it's so disappointing, because to me, even today's WikiLeak, you know, even today's WikiLeak is just further confirmation with the Dark Matters leak that they have been installing hardware on every Apple iPhone since 2008. That's a backdoor. So any of you that have an iPhone, they're in there. And honestly, no one cares.
It's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse.
Oh, it is worse. We only know the easy stuff. You know?
Well, I'm saying like the people aren't going to care, because our attention span as a society has gotten so short. I mean, it used to be what happened this past week. Now it's what happened in the past 10 minutes. And we move on to the next thing, looking for the next big story.
You're right. Like, the CIA is in your phone right now, and it's like, yeah, but did you see this meme?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what
I
mean?
Who won the Super Bowl, you know?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, people love Deflategate, but no one gives a shit about, you know, WikiLeaks.
Right.
Like, yeah. Like literally, Deflategate got an entire year of coverage about whether or not you could... I mean, it was forensic-level analysis of whether you could deflate those balls in that period of time. And this comes out that the CIA is in your phone, can take over your car, is in your TV... They actually like get it from the manufacturer and install it. It's like, yeah, but did you see Tom Brady? Like,
right.
OMG, right? Like, and Hannah's laughing because that's totally her. Yeah, like, she's over there so typing true. on her like Snapchatting, bored out of her mind, and yeah. Like, and then it's like, oh yeah, hi Mr. CIA man, and then like taking a selfie and sending it to him.
They love my Snapchats.
Do
the
they?
CIA loves my Snapchat.
You are so fetch.
They do.
I love that she's wanted so hard to come on for like a year, and then she gets here and she's so ready to leave.
That's not true. I'm not ready to leave.
She'll never want to. You're never going to come back, are you?
No, I'm coming back. If you'll have me, I'll come back. Maybe next time you can give me more than 24 hours notice.
Oh, I'll have you. Are you going to go check my car for me? Thank you.
Are you leaving?
The pizza's coming.
Yeah.
He's not ordering pizza.
Mm-hmm.
He's being nice.
He's buttering you up. Are you going to fall for it?
Yes.
Okay.
Right, pizza is the gateway to my heart.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just going to sit over in Philadelphia by myself.
So. I know, right?
Sorry.
I'll come back and
well,
I'll
we're also going to, before we finish, okay, I want to talk about how we met her. Harry needs to weigh in on this.
Hold up. Before you go to that, so everyone stops getting like all paranoid. A lot of the different like hacks or different stuff that are coming out through the WikiLeaks documents, a lot of those are old stuff that have been patched by the manufacturer.
Yes, they're no longer zero-day exploits.
Correct. They haven't been for a while. The Apple firmware one, that's old. Like a lot of it's old stuff. A lot of people have known about it, and you have to actually get physical access to those devices. So. If you are a direct target of the CIA, you're pwned.
Like the president.
Yeah, you're pwned. If you're not a direct target, nine out of ten chances, you're fine.
So you appear on a libertarian podcast.
That's when your co-host gives you to the CIA willingly while you hop on a flight.
Also, thank you. I made it to Boston and back without incident. I didn't check bags. I knew better, but thank you for not turning me in.
I've foregone my vengeance.
I did get
like Vito Corleone.
I got my balls felled a few times. It was great. So I thank you for that.
Win
as
win.
Well. What'd you grow?
What?
You're on the prowl over here.
No.
My address is 48. Oh, you're trying to get me. hold on. Let me write it down, or Greg will text it to you. But yeah. So I mean, I think that this is Harry. This is like so hard for people to comprehend. It's so hard for people to, Brian Nichols has to get off at 9:30, so we've got 3 minutes left with Brian. So, make your point quick so we can say goodbye to Brian.
What I do is to say a lot of the different exploits are like physical access stuff, and there's some also the bigger issue of the Internet of Thing devices that are the biggest problems. As long as you get that crap out of your life and just watch physical access of your things, you're pretty much fine as long as you stay updated. But, you know, but if you're an actual target of the CIA, you're kind of pwned. There's other things that you need to be doing if you're an actual target.
Miranda's nudes are safe, then, is what you're saying.
Thank God.
Yes.
Miranda, there is justice in this
world.
You're
a big Miranda fan.
There's justice in this world.
You might be a bigger Miranda fan than Brian.
Brian.
Brian loves Miranda, right?
What's not to love about Miranda?
Have you listened to the new Miranda's World episode with...
No. Oh. I need to.
Well...
Like, I've been going through like all the We Are Libertarians podcasts one by one, and like each one just has their own little flavor of hilarity, and it's phenomenal. I'm so glad I stumbled upon the We Are Libertarians empire here.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, and loved having you on. It was it was nice for Greg to have a rational, logical discussion tonight.
No, I really appreciate you coming on. I look forward to having you on again, Brian.
See, Brian, we have to
absolutely.
We have to take him out and let him play sometimes. So,
well, you know, I consider this stuff really important, and so it's nice that someone else does.
I wish Hannah did.
No, it's important. It's important.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. Okay. I wish I could have participated more.
Well, you had notes.
I didn't study.
you had 11 pages of
I thought I could wing it, but this level of... We went full spectrum tonight,
yeah,
and I couldn't keep up.
This has been a very disorganized and rambling show, to be honest.
There was
honest.
A lot of screeching. Oh, I mean...
No, this is not one of our best episodes, to be honest.
Oh, that's so rude.
Well, it's not your fault. It's my fault because I went completely apoplectic over my car, and then Aaron has been distracting. He's out of the room. Can we all agree he was super distracting tonight?
He has to go.
I know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like even Brian's not here, and Brian's
there is
going.
A deadbolt. I
saw the picture of all you guys on Facebook from Aaron, and I wasn't in it, and I was sad.
I know. We wish you were here. I'll tag you.
Intern, go lock the door, please. Yeah. this is why we have interns. We're going to lock the door.
No, but wait, he's got food.
That's a good point.
Don't lock the door.
No, nope, lock the door, Ed.
No, please.
Nope, he answers to me.
Okay, Ed, stand by the door, please.
Excellent.
Just have him knock 3 times and get him scared. But what if he leaves with our pizza?
He can feed the pizza through the mail slot.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Yes, I know you're on a time crunch.
Guys.
So, Brian, thank you so much, and we'll look forward to doing it again with you, buddy.
Absolutely, guys. Have a good night, and I'll definitely be looking forward to hearing from you in the future.
Absolutely. You take care, bud.
All right, man. Thanks.
Good. See you guys.
So, very nice. I liked him a lot. He was a good guy.
Yeah, now we can bash Hannah.
Yeah, yes. Let's go.
Now let's get
let's
on.
Go.
We can get back on the Wi-Fi now, right?
Yes, go ahead. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I think you should go check out the show notes. I'll actually post them with the episode this time. I was a little delayed on the last two.
Oh, I put them in our group.
I got them. Gotcha. I just put them in the actual episode, so you can go back and review all the details.
It's not quite like an online college, is it, Hannah?
Not quite.
Yeah.
Because I actually have to read it. Can't just Google answers.
Right.
God. Can't just Google the answers.
Or DuckDuckGo.
How many beers have you had?
Don't worry about my number of beer consumption.
I bet you get that same exact answer if you ask her how many partners.
Her dad's listening. And it's zero.
Zero.
I will vouch that she is a chaste woman and has only been an upstanding. I watched her. So the first night I met Hannah.
Uh-huh.
Uh-oh.
It was Young Americans for Liberty. This is when you're at IUPUI. And you were 18.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a debate. Was Andrew Reno the chair of Young Americans for Liberty? Libertarian?
Yeah, he was. we have screeching.
He's full screeching.
Aaron is.
Oh, let him in.
Yeah, will you let him in?
having a laser cut key of Spangles doesn't seem so funny now.
For the record, every one of you that mocked me for wanting a wall, look at how the wall's working right fucking now.
Exactly.
Okay.
Get the door, intern. See, Harry? You've moved up. Who wants pizza? Bring them in. Tell them to come in. My neighbors, my hot neighbors.
Where'd you order from?
Yeah, I have smoking hot neighbors.
Do you?
I do.
Wow.
Yeah, the two girls that moved in across the hall, they're smoking hot. One has a boyfriend. The other does not like pants.
How old?
They're about 25.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Hey, girls, what's up?
So it's Young Americans for Liberty's hosting a debate between Dr. Dave. Is he actual doctor, or is he like a Jeffrey Tucker doctor?
We'll call him doctor.
Yeah. Like, you know.
Why do you got to be mean to Jeffrey?
Because he's not an actual doctor. Like, it's like,
what, he paid for it?
No, it was honorary. Like, you don't get a doctorate
if
it's honorary.
Just call him doctor.
All right. So Dr. David.
I'm assuming his education.
Yeah, like the Lord Acton Institute's a real school. But David Friedman is having a debate with Randall Holcomb from Florida State, political science professor at Florida State University. And it's literally the most autism down the rabbit hole.
Screeching.
Who planned that, by the way? Was that you? Because you were like,
you know what?
You were big, like, Buddy, yay, Liberty at the time.
I was the event coordinator, but I feel like it got, like,
co-opted.
Once they realized it was serious that we got these people on the hook, they took it out of my hands. They were like, we better not.
She's 18. She doesn't know what
she's doing. No, because, like, literally, she was so, like, you know, you were brand new in the big city.
Oh.
You know, and, like,
I was so hardcore.
And, like, you got to go to, like, your first Coke conference and, like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
People were using the drugs. And you were like, oh, my God.
Oh, I didn't know what libertarian is. No, I went to LPAC. LPAC was my first libertarian experience where I was like, wait, we're not going
in
to
Dallas?
The conference?
Oh,
no,
wow.
It was in D.C.
In D.C. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I didn't know
Aaron.
What I was delving into. I love it. I loved it. But
I loved Liberty.
I really enjoyed Liberty on all those weekends.
So you're at that, and then you're like, do the deep dive. And so you guys book, which is like amazing. You get Dr., you know, Milton Friedman's son.
It was impressive.
Yeah, and Randall Holcomb to have a debate. And, you know, like, Milton Friedman's son is every bit as, like, pedantic and condescending as you might ever imagine about his book and his, like, dot blogspot blog, like, about how the machinations of the state are into the inevitable, you know, what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so
That's on our YouTube channel. If you go watch it, you can watch it.
And I had played in a golf outing before, so I'm, like, pretty lit. And I show up, and you like, at one point, are like, holy shit. Because I'm kind of new to We Are Libertarians at the time. And you're like, Greg, stop it. Because I'm challenging David Friedman's son at the debate. Like, you're wrong. Like, you're clearly wrong.
Oh, yeah.
The arc of history does not go that way. And you just kind of look at me and you're like, and then you tweet out, Greg just told Milton Friedman's son that he was wrong.
Well, we were guests. Like, we weren't even, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, he's lying. That's fake news.
Yeah.
You know? And so, but then that goes on. And so I hadn't met you yet.
God.
But I see David Friedman, like, hitting on you.
Mm-hmm.
Spinning mad game.
Yeah, he was trying to show me his machinery of freedom.
He was. And so then, but then I get to, in the interim, on the way over to the Skyline Club, which you should not have been at because you were 18, and that is for 21 and over.
Fake news. Continue.
Anyway, but I meet Seth Nyman. And at the time, it's gay, or it's straight Seth Nyman, who's a good Presbyterian boy.
Oh, he was straight then? Didn't know. Okay.
Hadn't told his parents yet, not out of the closet. And he comes up to me and he goes, you sound nothing like you look like, and this is why you're wrong about and why an anarcho-capitalist society can't work. And I thought, you have autism like I've never seen. Like, you literally could not be more autistic.
Let me tell you why you're wrong. You don't understand. I mean, honestly, it's fair.
Oh, and don't get me started. So I have a bone to pick, but continue.
Yeah. And so to see Seth now, and the Seth who had, like, what are those, Flovie, like the Flovie haircut, where, like, you just put it on a setting and it's a machine. Like, you just put it over, like you do at home.
Yeah.
He had that kind of haircut.
DIY.
He had glasses, and, like, he was desperately restraining his homosexuality and was, like, a
was
flaming, flaming ANCAP. And so
he claims that he was gayer then than he is now.
He was way gayer then than he is now. Way gayer.
Yeah.
And so we go. So then there's an event that you're not supposed to be at. Turns out you are. How did you get in?
What?
You're a libertarian. You're allowed to break laws.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. How'd I get in?
Yeah.
I just walked in. I'm a female.
Oh, that's right. You're a planner.
I'm a female at a libertarian event. They don't shut you out.
They had given out, like, you had wristbands. So
no, I walked in and I handed my ID, which was vertical, right?
Yeah.
So obviously I'm not 21. I handed it to them. They ignore it and they put the wristband on me.
Okay, so that makes sense.
But you didn't drink, did you?
Are you kidding me? Of course I drank. I had a ride home and everything.
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
Who was the ride home? David Friedman?
Do you remember? There was another Hannah.
There was. What was her name? We went to that party.
Yeah,
I got lost with Dan Drexler in the parking garage for 2 hours and showed up late, and you were just there. Hannah.
Oh, that's right, on the south side. Yeah.
At Andrew's apartment.
Yeah.
So the whole time, like this, and this is the night you introduced me to Bittner. So I have a little bit of a bone to pick with you. And Suzanne Schaefer was there as well. And we're all hanging out, having a good time. And then, like, everybody's going to do a group picture. And David Friedman will not stop. And I had had, like, 9 scotches at this point. I drank all day, like, hammered, been out in the sun. And David Freeman will not stop talking to you and like hitting on you. And Randall Holcomb took a picture of you that became like one of our first memes.
Yeah, there was a meme.
And Randall Holcomb is terrified to be standing next to a woman. And like you're just smiling.
Oh, you can tell. Yeah. He's like shuddering.
And he's like, like that.
That's so mean.
No, like...
No, I'm like 18. I'm in like a pencil skirt and like little conservative 3-inch heels. And like, I don't even remember. I mean, it was...
Sorry, I mean...
It was very... Yeah.
And so... He will not stop talking to you and like spitting game.
Uh huh.
And I just like at this point had it because I'm ready to go to this party.
Yeah.
And I just start screaming Poonhound over and over to the point they like ask me to get out of the picture and I still don't think I'm actually in the picture.
You're not.
I'm not.
Where are those pictures? They're not in my Facebook.
They're on our wall page.
Okay, I need to go back.
Yeah, they're on our wall page. And so then, because I talked to you like a little bit.
Uh huh.
I offended you, right?
Probably, yeah, you call me a neoconservative.
Yeah, because you were.
You said you were taking, were you taking a picture? Were you taking pictures that night?
No.
I don't know. Somebody was taking a picture and you said, say 1, 2, 3, neocon.
So good with women.
Winning.
Yeah, so.
And that's why I actually offended you?
No, you didn't offend me.
Okay. All no. Right.
And so when Seth, like I said, Hannah's going to join us on the podcast.
Oh, full blown.
And Seth goes, you realize she's a Republican, right?
you know who she voted for?
Who'd you vote
no,
for?
No, we're not doing that.
Yeah,
no.
We are. Who'd she vote
no,
for?
No, no.
Greg?
No, Greg. Your allegiance, I told you that in confidence.
Is your allegiance to me or to her?
I told you that in confidence.
You,
as someone who at
you
that
have
party,
outed me three different times on this podcast.
How have I outed you?
You've revealed three of my secrets.
Which are?
Where I go to school, where I work, and
should I have not said that?
I don't know. I don't know who listens to this. I don't know who's
6,000 downloads weekly.
I don't know who's out there.
144,000 downloads every 3 months.
I don't know who's out there.
It's no TED Talks.
Moving on.
Anyway, and so did you go to that party?
I didn't. I don't remember why.
Because you were David Friedman.
Did you suck off David?
No. I don't even know.
Did you guys stay in contact after?
I don't know if Machinery of Freedom works anymore.
Did you guys stay in contact after?
No. No.
Okay.
Okay, you don't believe me?
I believe
you. Okay.
So then I tell Spangle, do you remember this?
No.
And I'm like, do you know that girl, that Hannah girl?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, does she know Andrew Reno? Or like, you know, I'd never met you before.
Seen her before, no.
And so then I see on Facebook, your name is Hannah Weber 96. And I go, you don't think.
Yeah.
So I think what I'd have been like 27. Have been like 27. I'm like, you surely don't think. And you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
And
she's 18.
And I'm like, what?
She was born in 1996.
No, like, I was born in 95. I don't know where the 96 comes from.
And I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That was the first time. Yeah, like that was the first time I really felt old. Because like, I thought you were for sure 21 because you were in.
Really?
Like when somebody says I'm in first grade on 9/11.
I was a freshman in college.
No, I know, but you were 18.
Right.
Yeah.
Were you 18?
Yes. I was 18 when I started college.
Okay.
I immediately friended her.
Oh, yeah. Well, I showed you that, and before I had even friended her, you had friended her.
Oh, yeah, and I think we compared notes, and you had called dibs on her at one point.
I did. I called dibs her, and then statute of limitations, and I didn't see you forever.
No, yeah. I went under the political radar.
I did.
Then I came back with a few like rage-filled posts that Spangle saw.
Yeah.
And it's
and then you ruined my last year.
I ruined your last year.
She actually, she chased me down and slid DMs.
That's
to
not
me.
True.
Yeah. And I saw you at Steak and Shake at one point, and like we sat back to back at a Steak and Shake downtown, and I was just like, I don't know this girl, and I don't want to talk to her.
I frequent that Steak and Shake. I used to. When I lived downtown, I used to frequent that Steak and Shake.
The one on the circle?
I was like, wow, she's really mowing down the food.
I can eat. I know. I'm a good eater.
Oh. Yeah, you are, girl.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then like I hadn't heard from you or ever hadn't talked to you, and then you started talking to her.
Yeah.
And then sure as shit, one Monday morning last, October?
Oh, are we going there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on, let's go.
Last October, I wake up from my ex at the time to literally every time we had interacted over the course of a calendar year.
Like screenshots, right? Of my likes.
Every
and my,
single interaction.
I was just trolling. I didn't mean anything by it.
And Miranda's.
Like
every fucking Monday
morning. Oh, and Miranda?
Yeah. And
that's
so
like just
every,
one more thing.
Every morning. So I wake up on a Monday morning. It's like 7:15. I wake up and I'm like, oh my God. Because my messenger is going so far back, I can't scroll. And I am just like, and no words. So I know I'm like, fuck.
She just sent you the documents.
Yeah. And so it was like, and then I didn't hear anything till like early afternoon. I was like,
you just didn't respond.
I just, what do you say?
Yeah.
Like, every interaction for a calendar year.
And I didn't know any of this until another year.
We hadn't
right?
talked.
He never once reached out to me and said, hey, can you stop trolling my Facebook or can you stop putting hearts on my memes and stuff?
Right.
Like, and it was just like,
never.
Oh.
I didn't know.
Knowing you, like, you were just trolling.
Oh,
you were just, like, trying to be funny.
I guess I would, like, put hearts. Like, he would probably say something very, like, Nazi-ish and I would, like,
I don't know why you'd say that.
I would put hearts on it.
Yeah.
Being sarcastic.
It wasn't anything that even flirty at all.
No.
No, because you have.
We honestly didn't interact. Like, that's the thing. There were no like.
I found this out at 40s.
Yeah, we did. Well, he didn't.
You were.
Like, I didn't know you. I hadn't talked to you at all. And so I was like, I don't know. Like, if I say that, I'm fucked. Because that's like going to look like. Clearly, it's going to look like a lie. Like, you have never talked to this person.
Right.
Did you just. See, I've always. In my relationships, I've had to explain Creepertarians away a lot.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, especially me.
I never do anything.
And I just explain like, well, they're libertarians. They're different. Like they interact differently. I just have to go there. I just have to say, listen, don't. And I always say, don't feed the trolls. Like don't. Once you reply to them, you're toast. I can't help you at that point. You're already in the hole. I can't help you.
Because every time her boyfriend would post a photo of her. I would do ha-ha or sad face or angry face.
Every time I would wake up to texts that were like, me and that Chris Spangles are real fuck.
That dude hates me.
Or, I don't even know why you talk to him. They just don't get it. But if you're not.
I mean,
I never did that, did I?
I went in on hard on him.
You've trolled some things. That's why my mom has to say, did you see what Gregory Lentz posted on your Facebook? Because you say random things that she doesn't know how to take, so she's asking me to explain.
Like Hitler did nothing wrong.
No, I don't remember all the things that you've put on my Facebook where my mom was like, did you see Gregory Lentz's comment?
Hi, Cheryl.
Mom's hate Greg Lentz.
Your mother hates Greg Lentz.
No, my mom doesn't hate you. She was just making sure.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, Gregory Lentz is on a timeout because of Aaron Ewert.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's true.
Which he has not apologized for.
It's true.
He brought you pizza, though. You can have pizza.
I didn't get offered any pizza.
I have pizza.
That's why I brought it.
Oh, my God. You were so...
It's a community pizza.
Okay.
But my mom hates it, Greg. It's okay.
That one might have been justified.
You did post a photo of Harry with the fedora, and the post said, Harry, do you want to say it?
Yeah, that word's offensive. You shouldn't say that word.
Yeah. So it's the word that Harry won't even
You call
say.
Me honky, cracker, all those things.
That's love, though.
I was doing it with love.
Right. That's but you good. Said the N-word on Facebook.
No, I didn't. There is the difference between a hard R and a soft A.
Mm. And that's like the last time Joe... That's the last... You ran Joe. Joe was one of the triumvirate of We Are Libertarians. Mm-hmm. It's like the end of Joe's participation. He just like got in chat one day and goes... Has Greg lost his mind? You can't say the N-word on Facebook. Jeremiah was verklempt. Harry was borderline offended. And Harry, he LARPs for a living. He barely gets offended. So,
I am sorry, Harry. I would never offend you. You are my favorite person to have on.
Thank you.
He wasn't actually mad.
Nah.
Are you ordering Aaron around?
Yeah, he's even giving me a plate.
That's what we have the intern for.
He clearly overestimated my amount.
Yeah, Aaron, use the intern.
I was just going to...
Just put the pizza directly on her face.
Thanks.
That's how she likes it.
Where'd you order it from?
Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut, and it's thin crust. It's okay. It's good.
Mm-hmm. Free pizza.
I love it. It's very good. Are you enjoying it, Aaron? Don't talk!
Rude.
Could you not eat right into the microphone?
Right, yeah. Bittner may be listening.
I got so many hate tweets about me eating the Chick-fil-A. So many people were so mad about that.
I loved it so much.
It was so.
Bittner is like,
Bittner's diabetic. Although congratulations to Bittner. Bittner has been basically cured of his diabetes with the keto diet, and he now has regular blood sugar levels.
Why are we celebrating this?
I know. Bittner's gonna live. He's healthy.
Harry, you do God's work. Like, you go and you do yoga with Bittner, and you go like have brunch with Bittner.
Best friends with him.
How do you do that?
You know, yoga is very calming. It helps you, like, and it's part of the yoga practice to also to be, you know, nice to your neighbor. And
so it's like a stoicism thing. Like, you do the one thing like that's brutal, and like that way, you know, you can handle any scenario ever again.
Yeah,
perfect. Okay, I was gonna say, because like, you know, they go to like brunch. Like, it's not a short brunch. Like, you guys get eggs Benedict and like shit that takes a while to make.
Yeah,
they talk. Yeah. And how much do you think they gossip about us?
I don't think it at all. I think Harry just wears Bittner down.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Does he wear down?
I don't know about that either. I just know like, we both dump on each other things that, you know, like no one else wants to care about for the week.
Right.
At BWG Saturday.
Basic white girl Saturday. You're invited.
Oh, yep. That sounds great.
Is she invited though?
If you want to come, you know, come to yoga, then come to brunch.
Okay. I am shocked you're here because it's 2-hour drive.
That's commitment, right?
Yes. Seriously.
Thank you for coming.
So you come up a lot.
I didn't read the thing, but I drove all this way.
You could have just
recorded it, and I could listen to it on my drive, but you didn't think about that, but that's fine.
Actually, that's not a bad idea.
God, she is the she is Southern Indiana, Aaron. She is every Southern Indiana woman you've ever met.
You are chomping into that microphone as loudly as... It sounds
it's
like a cow chewing cud. Like,
it's fine.
It's natural.
It's natural.
Let's talk to Ed a little bit. Hand the mic over to Ed there.
Yes.
So, Ed, you're our intern. You're going to be here for a few weeks, and we're going to teach you some things. So let's do an interview process with Ed. Ed, what are you hoping to get out of this internship?
I'm really not sure.
Yeah, okay, me neither.
Yeah.
So we're on the same page then. Yeah, so have you ever seen a less professional broadcast than this?
It's my first professional broadcast, so no.
Okay, all right, good. So what's your background? What do you do for a living?
Right now I'm semi-retired.
Okay, all right, perfect. That's exactly the kind of intern we're looking for. Somebody with a lot of time on their hands and a nice pension, right?
No.
All right. So what did you do before?
I have done a little of everything. I've worked on copiers. I've built computers.
Oh,
I've
cool.
Worked warehouse.
Very cool.
You got a radio voice.
Yeah. It's two people have told me that.
Like, yeah.
Really great. Like, I would give anything to have a good voice like that.
Yeah, me too.
Really.
He walked up, and the first words he said something, and I was like, Ed, you have a great radio voice. So, have you ever been told that before?
No, I have not.
Okay.
Because, like, Harry has one.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's got the best pipes ever. And so, it's, you know, you hear it, and, like, you just are tailor-made.
She is shoving food in her mouth with her hands like a real crack baby. I mean, she is just going to town over there like my toddler niece. So, like, if you could do anything at this internship, what would you like to learn? Or are you just doing this because you just want to come hang out with us?
A little of both.
All right.
Yeah.
Are you thinking about doing a podcast?
I had considered it.
Okay. So what do you want to learn?
Basically, how to convey ideas.
Okay.
I just, you know, I ran for school board, and, you know, I just could not get my ideas out in a way that I could get people to get behind them.
Sure. Okay.
What were some of your ideas when you ran?
Well, the school board I was running for, they had for at least 10 years, the board was just a rubber stamp and just voted with the administration time after time.
Right.
And I was just looking for...
To sort of put up some resistance. Right. So, you know, they're...
At least present another idea or another view.
Yeah. So is that something you're thinking about pursuing again?
Yes. Another 2 years.
In another 2 years?
Yeah.
Would you identify as a libertarian?
In Indiana, they're non-political, but...
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. I'm sorry. Yeah. I forgot about that. But yeah.
But so, in general, are you a libertarian?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Now, your last name is Brehob.
Yes.
And we have a familial connection a little bit.
Yes.
Your family runs a large plant distributor here in town. Mine, Damon's Lawn and Garden and Damon Garden Company. And they buy plants from Brehob. So, like, I've always seen Ed Brehob, and I'm like, are you the plant people? So, slight connection there. So.
Yes.
It's very green. He's
family
green.
Money. Family right. money.
Yep. So, well, very good. We're excited that you... And listen, if you are out there listening and you want to intern, not just locally, but I would love to... If you're a college student, start... get in contact with me. I'd love to start doing some social media stuff with your campus specifically. I'll just straight up say it. So, Barstool Sports does a great thing where they take the Barstool brand and they apply it to colleges. And I would love to do that, where if you're at a college, then you have a We Are Libertarians college Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, whatever, Twitter, if anybody's on Twitter. That way you can connect with other libertarians on campus and post your own memes and have fun, and it's a good way for you to get involved and to help promote us. So get in touch with me, send me a Facebook message or... editor at WeAreLibertarians.com and get in touch. And if you're here in the Indianapolis area and you want to be an intern for us, you can't get college credit, and I can't pay you, but I promise that you will get some sort of education. I will teach you all that I know and then some, because I will make up the rest. So we're gonna teach Ed how to communicate big ideas simply.
And what school district is it?
It was Perry Township.
Okay.
Okay.
So, I feel like we could help them put together. We could help you make Perry Township great again.
Absolutely. So
I am personally excel at digging up dirt.
Absolutely.
And so if you give me the names of the current school board members, I guarantee you
he's
going to
John.
Shitstorm.
He's going to John Roberts the shit out of them.
It's verified.
Yep.
Nobody digs up dirt like I do.
No.
And if there isn't there, I will make it up.
Coming after you, Tay-Tay.
Yep.
All right, so let's start wrapping up.
Yeah.
So this is the 30-minute warning that we're heading out.
Yes, for all of you that so love to complain, Luke Stevenson specifically.
Yeah, who I invited to be on the podcast.
Yeah, I want him to. We talked about it, and I'd love to have him on.
So
great guy. Youngest elected Republican in Hendricks County.
The biggest tax cutter in Hendricks kind of history now.
No. Well, yeah, he is. Yeah, but Luke supplanted Rob as the youngest.
Who? I'm just going to say it. He's dead to me.
Petty as fuck.
He did not come to We Are Libertarians Live. He did not apologize to me.
Save the date, though.
Did you get a save the date?
I did.
Did you get invited to Rob's wedding?
I think I did. I haven't checked the mailbox yet.
Greg, have you been invited to the wedding?
Mm-hmm. It's probably soaked in rain right next to my old phone book that's laying next to my mailbox.
Harry, did you get invited to Rob's wedding?
No.
Oh, so he doesn't want black people at his wedding.
No, it's whites only.
Right. He doesn't want black people at his wedding. Put that on the record.
I think Harry's the biggest fan of Rob.
I haven't been a huge fan of Rob since when I had another podcast and we were beefing actually a little bit because, you know, I felt like our podcast was better than his when it was on Indiana Talks together.
Well absolutely, yeah.
You know, I've never been invited on Indiana Talks.
You're really?
Yeah, it's like the Libertarian Party of Indiana. Don't get invited to anything.
Here's the little thing about Indiana Talks that was all my idea, and then it got... Never mind.
Yeah. Repurposed.
I love Pepper Snyder, though. I asked her if she wanted to
come on.
She's
the best.
So she
I love her. I hope she comes on.
So Rob, I'm disappointed Rob didn't come and apologize to the audience at We Are Libertarians Live. And, you know, to not be invited to the wedding, I don't have to buy a present, so really it's all good.
I do have a plus one.
Yes. Yes. I'm going to wear a wig. Hello. Hello.
You sound like Mrs. Doubtfire.
Hello, Rob. My name is Stephanie!
What are you doing over there?
What's your problem?
I told him, I tried to signal to him not to mess with my thing, and he did, and now it's broken.
Oh.
I had MacGyvered it.
Has anybody ever come on...
I'm sorry, I can't hear you now because Aaron messed my...
No one has ever caused more problems in the history behind the scenes than Aaron has tonight.
I love
you're
him.
Like,
Mike, I gotta get attention somehow.
I know. It's like he's just...
Aww.
He's driving me crazy.
I love him.
This is the greatest retaliation for Bittner that you could possibly come up with.
This is our brother.
Because behind this... Like, I'm so ADD, so like distractions throw me off. And he's been screaming in the background. He's ordering pizza. He's messing up our headphones.
He brought you pizza.
He brought me pizza, yeah. But I'm on a diet.
Oh, that's right. Bittner has literally never brought me anything, and nor would I want him to, including his presence on a podcast.
He tried to get you to buy a t-shirt of his face. He didn't even give you one.
Yeah, yeah. Bittner brought me onion rings. Once?
Yeah.
You know, he told me that he actually took advantage of you the first time you went to yoga and brought you and took the discount.
Yep, that's what he thinks. He's trying to. That's why I showed up first.
That's right. You beat him there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That made me so happy.
Yeah.
All right. So,
same plan.
Final thoughts for the episode, Harry.
Yeah, we'll go around the room like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I feel like awkward because the mic is like behind me still. But my final thoughts is like I'm in two minds with the whole Obamacare thing. I actually do kind of want it to go full bore so everyone can actually feel the pain of this awful, awful government program. But at the same time, they'll blame someone else for its problems mm-hmm. and not the bill itself. And I'm at the same mind of with Greg of. You may want something, but go after what you can get on the table, because as an anarchist, I'm upset that there's a bill. Period. I'm upset there's a president. So you know, there's nothing they can do to make me happy unless they like turn off the lights and everyone goes home. So,
right.
You know, and when it comes to a lot of people, like keep looking at the WikiLeaks dumps of like all the CIA hacking stuff like that. It is kind of hard for people like me who like have seen this stuff, who's tried to care, who's tried to get people to care. And the only person I can really get to like really give me like a PGP like encryption, like sending email back and forth, do it correctly, and using Signal is the only person I've got is my wife because you know I just screeched at her until she did it correctly.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I still get people like, oh, I try to use it with correctly in my daily life, like in work, I'm sending just passcodes and just stuff through work, and I watch them use the encryption poorly and just like send it right. Plain text, and it's like, God dang it, what's the point anymore?
Yeah, there's no point in encryption at this point because they're getting it off the phones before it's even encrypted, right?
Yeah, but they have to implant that malware on the device before that does happen. Granted, can they buy something in transit to your house? Yes, they can. But that's also very expensive because that does take man hours of having someone actually going doing that. But if you are a target of the CIA, they're going to spend that capital to do after that. But if you are a target and you're doing something to target the CIA, one, you're not probably going to use a smartphone, and if you are, you're going to probably buy that smartphone in cash. There's a way to get past a lot of this stuff, and a lot of it's going to involve being cash, and it takes time, you know? Just like a lot of the systems I have that make sure if I want to be on the internet anonymously, you know, that stuff I've built up over months of time of building stuff up, and I cycle it out and get rid of it after I've used it so many times.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. Lucky I've got a job that's easy to get rid of that stuff. So.
All right. So, Ed, final thoughts for the intern, Ed. The final thoughts for the episode.
Well, I kind of agree with Greg as far as, you know, trying to get something. You kind of wish that you could go back because, you know, at the very least, people have been getting better and better health care because the employers are giving it as benefits and nobody's paying taxes on it. So they want a better plan. In effect, they're getting a higher pay and the employer gets to deduct it from their taxes. So the feds are subsidizing part of it. The person is getting free health care and is not paying as income, which it really is, which just spirals it up. They get better and better health care plans, and that only causes the healthcare cost to rise.
Mm-hmm. All right. But, go ahead.
Yeah. What do you do at this point? Now, it's right, like you said, it's just a huge mess.
It is. It's devastating.
Yeah.
So if people want to follow you, if you want people to connect with you, how would they do that? The answer is, I don't want them to connect with me is okay as well, by the way.
Yeah, no, that's fine. It's I'm Ed Brehob on Twitter.
All right.
That's probably the easiest.
B-R-E-H-O-B.
And thank you for going through this painful experience of being our intern with two guys that fake it more than they actually know what they're doing.
I think you'll get a kick. We'll take you next week to we're doing a podcast with some marketing guys next week.
Yeah.
I think you'll get a kick out of that. I think that'll be
That'll be our most offensive podcast, I have a feeling, in a very long time.
Maybe.
Okay.
Hannah,
mm-hmm.
You've been a pleasure.
I know.
Thank you for driving so far to come here.
So far.
I think you're probably the farthest that any host or guest has ever driven to come on the podcast.
Isn't that great?
Amir. Yeah.
Well, he doesn't count. He's a terrorist.
Yeah. It's that diesel.
Yeah.
The diesel engine.
You got a diesel engine and a Chevy Cobalt.
No, Cruze.
Chevy Cruze is the Cobalt.
Well, you're not wrong.
Right.
No, it's actually a Cruze.
She has a Mini Cooper.
Cavalier.
Right.
It's the same thing. It's just like they learned how to contour or something.
If anybody has a 1997 Chevy Cavalier, please hit me up because I'm in need of a car.
Yeah.
Tanner has a friend that's got an 88 Cavalier that runs and is baby blue and Gary Johnson stickers all over it.
How much?
It's his ride, and Jeremiah claims it's just in great condition.
I bet one of your neighbors will sell you their Lincoln Town Cars. There's at least six on my way in. I saw them.
Fair point.
We have a very classy neighborhood here.
I see that.
So, final thoughts for the episode, Hannah.
Yeah, it was a good time. I'm sorry I didn't study my notes. I was a little behind the curve, but
just don't do that on your finals.
Yeah, no.
Good luck with finals.
Online classes.
A lot of free time that you've found to study. Have you been studying?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I found a lot of really good memes. And
really, I haven't seen you share them.
You haven't sent you, you. She was. We were talking. We were like best friends for like 2 months, and then all of a sudden she just stopped talking to me.
No,
you stopped talking to me, and
I just kept getting the sass.
No, that's not
I don't
true.
Know what happens at work, but he kept bringing it home, and I just couldn't.
Well, maybe if you never mind.
No,
a real friend would love me through it.
And if your dad listens, John, your daughter's great, and so we hope we haven't said anything offensive. And,
no, you're fine.
All right.
Smartest woman I've ever met.
There you go.
Wow.
But, you know.
You know.
Woman.
Yeah.
I didn't say it.
Right.
There's no, but thank you for making the drive and coming on and ruining last year.
I just, you know.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Much appreciated.
No, I'm actually going to ruin this year, too, remember, because we have a trip planned.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
We have a trip planned.
That's going to be bad.
And I'm also going to ruin his 2017.
Yep.
Ruin Greg's year 2017. Hashtag.
Well, it's not hard.
Yeah, absolutely not.
No. You're like a redheaded Dementor. Just come in and suck the life out of people.
Very much.
Yep.
And I Pretty hope much. that we can get back to us again.
Right. Well, I don't know. We'll see. You left me on red all day.
Okay. See, this is you just stop talking to me, and then I get sass. I give it back. That's what I do. I treat people the way they treat me. Right, Greg?
Do unto others as you would have done
to
you.
Have I ever been mean to you, Greg?
Never.
Have I ever been shitty?
You've invented bitter things, and that's what tonight is about. Right. Tonight's about retribution.
I just know I got here, and there was no Bush Light, and then Greg showed up, and there was Bush Light.
I don't know beer. I don't do beer.
You know me. If you know me, you know
I
beer.
Know. Well, that's why I got you the foam roller, so you can stretch out. So I know
it's
you
true.
Like to be
it is,
nimble.
It is. It's going down smooth.
You gotta get the flexibility going when you're gonna get loose.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
What?
No.
I accidentally already sexually harassed the intern. By the way, what was the joke that I made? That I was like, "Hey, by the way, that was a joke." God, what was it? Let me go back and look.
Put on this blue dress and tell me I'm pretty.
No, it wasn't that, but I was like, I think I just sexually harassed our first intern, and he's a guy.
Were you offended?
No, I'm not sure what we're talking about.
Yeah, hold Good. On. Let me look here.
Don't want to sue the Empire.
I said, hey, I'm going to make you do my laundry, and if you do a good job at it, I'll give you some Miranda nudes, clits included. Oh, and okay. And I was left on red. I didn't get a response, and I was like, hey, maybe I better clean that up. Maybe I better not sexually harass
her. Give it a little more time. Let him acclimate to right. her sense of humor.
Right. So, very good. Greg, final thoughts for the episode. Aaron, is there anything you'd like to say? Anything you'd like to apologize for?
I'm not apologizing
for How about for ruining this podcast?
You invite me over here, and then you don't give me a microphone after I bought you pizza. This is ridiculous.
I didn't invite you to shit, and I didn't even know you ordered pizza.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
So much drama in my life, Greg. I can't get a peace. I can't get a moment of peace.
You know, the company you keep.
I know it's not me.
They say that you're a summary, or you are a.
You're made up of the five people you're surrounded.
Yeah. So.
Right.
How you feeling?
Sassy and redheaded, and slightly buzzed. A little gay faced, with a Nazi haircut. I mean, honestly, he has a pretty face. I can't help it.
No. Look at that! Look at that sultry look he's giving you right now.
But also very Bucktown.
Very Bucktown.
Very Bucktown.
Very Bucktown. Yeah. We classed it up tonight. Brought our A game. Yeah, we brought Lord of Bucktown and Bucktown Trap Queen.
Wow.
Metamore.
Mm-hmm.
Metamore.
I just wish I could sit all the listeners down one by one individually. And explain to them how hard my life is.
Oh, my
and how
gosh.
How much harder it is made by these people.
Do you remember the Jeff Vibbert Christmas special? And he's sitting there getting progressively more wasted while we're doing it. All of a sudden, it starts out as he wants to thank everybody for helping him build the Jeff Vibbert empire. And then, right. And then it immediately flips over to... I built this on my own, brick by brick. I feel like we're having that kind of, you're going to have that kind of moment here momentarily.
No. I know. What is going on between these two? What are you whispering?
What?
I'm eating.
Do you think that whispers are not heard in Dear Leader's Empire, Aaron?
Me, who literally were.
You would hear them if I had a microphone.
Well played. Well played. No, I'm just teasing. I love all my friends. Hannah is delightful. She's been a great addition to the We Are Libertarians universe. She's very funny and one of the few women that can hang.
Mm-hmm.
There's only been a couple times where she's been like, that was hurtful.
When?
Delete this.
Okay. Had I known.
You got flagged as an Instagram spammer when I posted that because you tried.
I thought I was being creative.
And you got flagged as a spammer.
Yeah, no.
Greg posted a photo of Hannah that was
apparently she didn't care for it.
Incredibly unflattering.
And you go, Greg, you have to remember I'm a 22-year-old girl.
I did not say that.
You did in chat because you said you deleted it.
Oh,
and then you go, you have to remember
joking.
I'm a 22-year-old girl and I still care about how I look and that is not a pretty picture.
Oh, did you think I was being serious?
You were being serious.
No, I mean, I was
all those
joking.
Flavors and you chose salty.
Picture. It's
I mean,
probably still in there.
You did post it to her wall 20 times one day and she deleted all 20.
That was just one
you
day.
You started the meme war.
Did I?
And Greg will finish it.
No, I didn't.
I did. I didn't do anything. You posted on my wall. You posted on my wall.
That was post.
No.
Delete this, Chris.
But the whole like thing of getting 30 like million screenshots, you started it.
Oh, I unintentionally.
But so then I posted delete this because it was right the Logan Clark thing, the
right.
dueling knives, like hilarious. Oh. Kid getting shot at school, hilarious. But then you made a list of things that were Nazis and then added my name to the bottom and posted that publicly and tagged me in it.
Which, original, right?
Yeah, I was impressed because I hadn't seen that meme yet.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
So, success. Yeah, and then I made the collage of your faces.
Yeah, my basic.
That Randy really appreciated.
Yeah, she thought that was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. Who's Randy?
That's my friend who I ride horses with. She's part of the TARD train. She has the hunting show that she loves Greg. Every time Greg posts memes of me, she likes them.
Yeah.
And she sent Greg a friend request.
Ooh.
And then Greg bragged about it in the group chat, which triggered Tad, who, by the way, I got an Instagram request, so
yes.
I don't know, can we make a vote?
Is Tad sliding in DMs yet?
He's
my
trying
Instagram.
To.
So if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's at @Hannah_Indiana, formerly Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. But
no, and you changed it?
Why would you change it?
That is amazing.
I mean, I can go back, but I was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle like all through high school, but then when I turned 20, I decided to just, I'm not a teenager anymore.
No, but
I just post Hitler memes.
I made a celebratory post about like, okay, I'm graduating from the Ginger Turtle. It goes back to high school. I hit a turtle and I got like a lot of flack for hitting this turtle in my Mini Cooper, and I used to wear a turtle backpack, and it was a long thing. Anyway,
we're gonna explore this more deeply,
aren't
we?
But the thing
Greg?
Is, my
so you hit
my
all
Instagram.
Animals with that Mini Cooper, don't you? Raccoon, turtles, geese.
If you can, yeah, I mean. No,
back to the Ginger Turtle.
My Instagram's private.
He's leaving.
So you have to, that's terrible.
don't do it. Yeah.
Okay. My Instagram's private. So
are you going to accept or decline Tad?
Can we make a group?
Should she raise your hand if she should add Tad?
Tad is
there are no hands up right
a
now.
A national treasure. I think you should add Tad.
Raise your hand.
I'm in for Tad.
Who else is in for Tad?
I'm his ranch hand, ride or die.
Okay.
Not even his cousin.
I don't know if Tad wants in.
I know some things about Tad.
After being in his house,
about where some bodies are.
Yeah, I just fear. For
okay.
Your life.
Yeah, honestly, you want to date
you
Tad? You go
through.
Over to Tad's house. You won't date Tad anymore. There's dead people in the house.
Should we take a field trip?
Yes.
To the ranch. We're going to do a live show from the ranch.
We're going to do a Cribs Tad Western.
We are.
Am I going?
Sure. Yeah. You can be involved. Kay. Yeah.
Where's the last place?
You've been inviting yourself a lot.
Under the ice skating
rink. No. Just there. I just want to know, should he be allowed into the Instagram sphere?
I'd say yes. I think Tad's safe.
So we've got two hands.
It's in person that's going to be a problem.
I've met Tad in person.
Privately.
Yeah. When you two go on a
if
date.
You, for instance, were
to
you out
fair,
at Kilroy's real late in the summer one night and you're trying to walk home barefoot without shoes?
And then a wild Tad appears and it's
this
no
is probably
longer.
A pretty high likelihood that that's going to be your last public appearance.
That's yikes.
She's not blonde, though.
I carry a gun.
Those 55-gallon drums are real
50, yes, 55-gallon drums. They're not cozy. Although you are double-jointed, you could fit in one.
I could. Ooh. Yeah.
Muriatic acid, though, that stings.
All right, let's end.
We'll
this.
Wrap this up. So, okay. Are you
Greg? Final thoughts?
Are we adding? Tad?
Are you done?
Add Tad.
Add him.
Okay.
Add him.
Tad's getting
that's
ad.
That's a new add Tad.
Add Tad. Add Tad effing Western.
17 million people can't be wrong.
Exactly. Tad F.
He actually has 260 followers.
You want to check that Nazi Germany?
See, here's the thing. Instagram only goes up to 200 million, and so it rolls back over. So it's 200 million
it's the way my bank
users. Yeah, so yeah. So it's Tad FN Western, if you want to add him. Greg, final thoughts for the episode?
No, thank you all for coming. Shocked we would have an intern.
I know. I was shocked.
I'm so... would. Rethink life decisions if I right. were you, but no, look forward to helping out any way we can since you're helping us out. Harry, thank you for coming, because I know I asked you late. Hannah, I didn't know you were coming. Thank you for not reading the notes, being prepared, or adding anything whatsoever.
You're welcome.
Aaron, thank you for storming it and totally helping me get Spangle back.
Little do you guys know, I'm an expert on healthcare, and you just missed out. Some knowledge. Dropping knowledge. Wasn't able to, though.
We were out. No, but thank you for coming all the way from Metamora. You can keep the rest of the Bush Light.
Thank you.
And I don't know. I think we salvaged this thing.
Yeah, I think there's a lot here. I listened to the first episode of Foreign and Domestic, which is the podcast with Maya and the Brothers Peffers. And it is everything that you would think and more that you'd expect out of a podcast from Denver, where everyone on the show is very high. And let's just listen to this little bit of the podcast.
You know what? I'd rather be a stoner and whatever that implies than ever be anything associated with alcohol. I mean, I'm going to end up railing against alcohol a lot. Just fair warning, because alcohol is vile, evil, nasty stuff.
No,
I know
not
I used
to
manufacture
it myself.
It
was the driving force of society for a long time.
Yeah, and look where that got us.
It got us agriculture.
Look where that got us.
I mean, it ended up getting a Zelda and stuff.
He never fails to deliver.
Ever.
I swear to God, the guy is he's got away with words legitimately.
That was Maya and then Peffers kind of chimed in, and then Chris Peffers said, you know, brought us agriculture, which is a fair point, and then he goes, it brought us Zelda and stuff. And they're also autistic that
for the
all
win.
Like none of them laugh at that, but I was in my apartment howling.
That's comedy gold.
It is
Chris Peffers is comedy gold.
He doesn't, and he's not even trying. It was just so like they're just. I mean, he got Zeldas and stuff.
He got fired from Meyer on the like, on the midnight shift because he couldn't show up on time.
I know. He was 5 minutes late 3 times and they fired him.
Yeah, and he's like, I don't know, man. I don't know. And then Daniel quit Taco Bell because he was sick of the way they were treating him.
And then there's Maya, who can't, I mean, she can't hold a job. She
can't pass a background check.
She was an air conditioning expert and was working for an air conditioning company and started ranting about libertarianism one day at somebody's apartment and they fired her.
The Globus!
It's amazing. Like, it is Maya just being Maya and talking, and then Peffers just talking, and the two of them have differing opinions all the time, and it's, like, really thoughtful. And then Chris Peffers just chimes in and goes, I don't know, got a Zelda and stuff. So
it's very meta.
It's very funny. So I'm looking forward to putting that out here in the next couple weeks, next week or two. But you'll have to look for that. It'll be the Foreign and Domestic Podcast. I'll let you know when that's out. And so thank you to everybody who donated recently to We Are Libertarians, because it's your donations that I was able to buy some extra equipment, send it out to them, and you guys are making that kind of stuff happen for us. That's what the donations go towards. I just want to thank everybody who donates because, you know, I don't do a great job yet of thanking everybody that gives us money, and I'm really bad about that, and I apologize. I feel bad about that every single day, but I just want to thank the people that do donate to us. Thank you to Jason Doolittle, who went above and beyond in donating and really, really helped me out. There are a lot of great people who are really, really putting a lot into helping build our dream in terms of financial resources and, you know, being interns. So we appreciate each and every listener. We appreciate each and every person that shares. Now he's doing dishes. You can hear the dishes on the air. This is, I am outraged.
He's doing your dishes.
I know.
In the middle of a podcast.
To be fair, I think he's doing my dish.
Right.
Whoa. Talk about gender reversal.
Right. Mm-hmm. I was doing my dishes when she walked in, and she immediately walked over and started doing the dishes.
Completely
so
fluid. Give me that plate. The fluidity in this room.
Thank you. But just wanted to thank everybody who donates and who gives to us and to our new advertisers. You guys are all so great to us, and we appreciate you helping build our dream. And we can't wait to do even more for you, and we will, I promise you. So thank you for listening to this episode of We Are Libertarians. For Hannah, for Harry, for intern Ed, for Mittens, for Muffins, and for Greg, we say, as always, we promise
to do better next time.
Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.